B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning. Thought I'd help you wake up.
It's 6 a.m. and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. John Kincaid Show. I'm Bob Cooney here at 97.5 The Fanatic, filling in for John Kincaid, who is on vacation. We got Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas, and Coach. I got to think of the right word to describe Coach Eric Camille today, but it's not fun. It's not affable. It's more of a curmudgeon-y. See, even now, he's twisting his microphone over in disgust that I said he's a curmudgeon today. But anyway, Sixers game day. We're excited for it. It's going to be on 97.5 The Fanatic tonight at 7:30. Game five. Many say this is the series tonight. Whoever wins tonight may be going on. And it comes off of a devastating loss. And the reaction yesterday was crazy. It pitted friends against friends. Spouses were fighting with each other. Co-workers. Nobody liked each other yesterday. Everybody hated the Sixers. Everybody hated sports talk, radio hosts and co-hosts and whatever it may be. There was just a lot of venom going on. And yesterday was a reactive day, and rightfully so. But now we have to look at the bigger picture. What does the second half collapse from yesterday's game mean moving forward? Is it just an anomaly that the Sixers had that bad half and now allowed Atlanta to tie the series at 2? I still think they're going to beat the Hawks, and I think it's going to be in 6 games. I think they win pretty easy tonight, and then they're going to have a struggle, but I think they'll close it out in 6 down in Atlanta. But is anything beyond that more clouded because of what happened not only in the second half yesterday, but also in those first 3 quarters in Game 1? To me, the Sixers have played 5 unrecognizable quarters in this series out of 16. That's scary. I don't think it's scary for this series because in the 5 quarters that they've been unrecognizable to me, they still only lost a game by 4 points and then the other night by 3 points. Sixers can be unrecognizable at times and still be on an even keel with the Atlanta Hawks. But I'm just wondering a little bit, looking forward, looking if they do get past this series, is this something that worries you? And, James, I got to ask you, that was a bad second half the other night, and I rewatched it last night, and I have some observations that we're going to get into today. Some of them are probably crazy out there, but there's one that I'm really interested to see what people have to think about it. But does that scare you, what happened the other night in the second half? Not just that game or not just the series, but moving forward as this playoff run has to continue, was that something that makes you a little bit nervous?
Not as much as it probably should, only because Joel Embiid went 0-for-12. Like, some of the looks he had were good.
Yeah.
You know, like the layup, he doesn't miss that. He had a couple bunnies from the block, little jumpers over Capella or whoever was on him, that he typically makes. It was just the most off night of off nights for him, so I don't put too much credence in that. The things I had concern over were, you know, Doc not intervening and getting Tobias involved. Joel, you know, basically trying to play hero ball. And, you know, minor things that I think are changeable, but ultimately it just boils down to Joel Embiid being, frankly, pretty terrible offensively in that second half. So I don't think that carries over game to game. I'm not too worried about that aspect of it. I do think they'll bounce back in that regard. So, no, I'm not overly concerned that it carries from game to game.
Was Embiid being terrible the other night, in your opinion, a key factor in Tobias Harris being terrible, Ben Simmons being basically absent, invisible in that second half the other night? Do those guys feed off of him so much offensively that when he's bad, that us calling for them to pick up the slack maybe isn't as easy as just that?
Maybe, but then that's part on Joel. Like, he has to recognize if he's having a night like that where he can't make what he normally makes, he's got to concede. And maybe that's part Doc, part Joel, part Tobias. I think all 3 of them kind of have a role in that, in just allowing him to go 0-for-12 without changing anything up. So, yeah, I mean, I think everybody has a little bit of the blame in that party.
He was so bad, Joel Embiid, I mean, in the second half offensively, in a variety of ways last, when I rewatched it last night. So he had He attempted a three where he pump faked in a 2-point game, pump faked to try to like draw a foul, didn't, and then just threw it up for no obvious reason.
Yeah.
He had a baby kind of hook in the lane where when he went up in the air, he contorted his body in a way that was very odd and wound up bricking it pretty much off the backboard. He had the obvious missed layup that you bring up,
how does he miss that?
Well, he said, I wanted to go up and dunk it, which, look, I've said it a million times, and I think we all agree on this. He doesn't dunk in traffic. He'll dunk when there's a wide open. He rarely.
It's rare. I mean, he's posterized.
Especially a dribble drive, pick up and dunk in traffic when there's defenders around. He rarely does that. So for him to say that's what I was going to do, but obviously my legs weren't there to do it. I don't know. Maybe. He looked off in everything he was doing in that second half. And I don't know what it was in the first half. We haven't gotten an answer. I don't know if it was when he dove on the floor that something happened. Yeah. But when he
You'd
came
have
out
to
of
assume,
the,
right? I yeah. mean, he laid on the ground after that and then went into the locker room.
And the look on his face when he came out. And then there was two times in the third, maybe it was the fourth. Oh, no, in the third quarter, twice, James, he went down at the offensive end of the floor. And both look like, you know, flops. Let's just call it flops.
Yeah.
And he laid on the floor.
He was flailing in game four.
And stayed on the floor. And Atlanta came down one time, got a clean dunk off of like a dribble drive, pass off, clean dunk while he's still laying on the floor. Another time, a wide open three. 5 points were scored in that third quarter while Joel Embiid was still laying on the floor.
Yeah, that's...
It's not good. It's not a good look.
My concerns may travel into tonight if the game starts out and Joel looks like he doesn't have his legs under him. Then I might have concerns, but then it turns into a Doc Rivers game and a Tobias Harris game.
Yeah.
Can Joel be okay and the Sixers win?
Yeah. Now, the strange part to me was...
I think they can.
It seemed like he was moving around okay. And it's easy to watch him when
he
just...
jumping.
When he just gets the ball. But on the defensive end, he did grab some rebounds. A couple in traffic where he went up. He one time showed himself and then came off of it on what was going to be a dribble drive by Trae Young. And he was expecting the alley-oop, so he kind of showed and got off. He seemed to be moving okay at the defensive end. There was nothing that I looked at that said, wow, he's really gimpy. Or he's even a little gimpy. But then at the offensive end, he just didn't seem to have it. And I don't know what it was, but... I expect Joel Embiid to come out with his hair on fire tonight. I do.
Yeah, so do I.
This injury is going to be what it is. And unless there's something more to it, unless they did an MRI and found that it's tearing more and there is more hurt in there, I expect him to be a dominant force tonight. And I think he expects that of himself.
I think we all expect it from him. I mean, up until, you know, Kevin Durant's performance last night, which we'll get into, he was the best player in the world, in my opinion, this year when healthy. So, I mean, these are when you earn your real stripes. You know, in situations like this, you gotta bounce back, and I expect him to. The player props are not even up yet, but I'd have to assume he's a 30.5-point line tonight.
Huh? I think I might go a little below because he was so bad the other night.
They might. Well, he had been 32.5
right
up until last game. They dropped it down to 30.5. It's like amazing, you know. Maybe it's 28.5, but I expect him to respond.
Connor Thomas in today for Pat Egan, who has the day off. Connor, what's your confidence level going into tonight? I mean, most people that I listen to, talk to, friends, whatever, tonight's a blowout.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel that way.
No,
I don't. I think they win the game. I don't have any doubts that they win the series still. But the 0-for-12 is still shaking me. Like, if Embiid looked uncomfortable, and he shot like 3-for-12 or something, and he just couldn't get it done down the stretch, that's one thing. The inability to fight through the discomfort, and us not knowing whether or not it's the back now, if it's worsening of the knee, the cloud of not knowing exactly what he did and when he did it in game four is kind of scaring me. So, and everything runs through him. I think your point about Tobias and Ben not picking it up because Joel runs the offense through him so much, it makes perfect sense to me. And if Embiid is that guy again, they might be in trouble.
Yeah, I'm wondering tonight. There's two ways you can go if you're Doc Rivers or if you're the Sixers. Do you try to get Joel Embiid going early? Do you force feed him early in the game to say, don't worry about the other night. Here you go. Here's the ball. Do your work. Or is it more of a let the game come to you, Joel? We know you're hurting. 0-for-12 is 0-for-12. You probably don't have a lot of confidence in your head right now at the offensive end, which can be taken care of quickly. But what would you do, James? Do you force feed him? Do you kind of let the game go to him? Do you tell Ben, look, I know I said to the media that I don't have a problem with you not being aggressive in the second half, but I need you to get to the basket a little more?
No, I think just play your game. I expect him. I think he's set the expectation. That's fair. That if he's playing, you have what you expect from him, which is probably a 28 to 30 point, 15 board type of performance. So I don't do anything abnormal here. I just go with the normal game plan and game flow. And, you know, typically these first quarters haven't been a problem outside of game one.
No.
So I just let him get into his normal flow, let him run at his pace, let him just play the game he's used to, and I think everything will fall into place.
Yeah, somebody asked me on Twitter last night, what's your keys to the game? And my answer was kind of just what yours was. Just normal. Just don't have any lulls. Don't let Atlanta get a huge run. Don't you have offensive collapses where you're not scoring? And I got to go over this. Egan brought it up yesterday, and he made a great point that there was a lull in the Sixers' offense in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Everybody chill out with these Egan great points. I'm listening to Anthony on the way home yesterday. Pat Egan's exactly right. You're going to give the kid a big head.
He's a genius. He's a basketball wizard. I don't know why that bothers you so much. See, you're very thin-skinned today.
What?
You are, because you have a lot of the country that's coming at you. When you're the target of the country, you know, you kind of get thin-skinned. And I feel almost bad for you.
No. See, I actually take yesterday as a badge of honor because I was able to program the afternoon show at John Kincaid's old station. I was able to help their midday show and morning shows perhaps with some topics for discussion. So I felt as though I programmed their shows yesterday because they fell for my ridiculous statement of Trae Young plays no honor. Which I believe to a degree. And
no,
so
you believe.
So does the NBA. And we'll get into that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Coach, is Jamie trending as one of the most hated people in all the country today or yesterday?
I called them weirdos.
Did you check up on that?
Oh, you know I'm very conservative, right?
Yes.
When it comes to what we do in here.
Uh-huh.
I'm all for it.
You're all for the Jamie bashing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right,
no, not the Jamie bashing. I'm all for what Jamie's doing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
No, I'm all for it.
So just rehash what happened yesterday.
I'm fighting for the integrity of the NBA, Bob.
All right, but rehash what happened because we are going to get into it even more later. But rehash a little bit what happened yesterday on these airwaves and then what was the result countrywide of what you did.
So I had a tweet that says simply, Trae Young plays with no honor. That play was pathetic. And it was the fake three attempt at the top of the key where he had no intention of shooting. He just jumped into Matisse Thybulle because Thybulle had him in prison. And he chucked it. And it didn't even hit the rim. It hit the back of the backboard. He was looking for a foul.
Right.
It's literally the rules the NBA are putting in place to eliminate that crap because it's a horrible brand of basketball. And Trae Young's a good to maybe great player one day. He doesn't need to do that. Like, stop. You're a good enough player. So my kind of joke was you play with no honor, meaning, you know, Game of Thrones, you fight with no honor. He's dishonoring the game. You know, do I mean that? Kind of, but it's mostly...
I don't know. You were going down on it pretty hard yesterday.
I thought that play was offensive to the game of basketball.
Right.
So they found my tweet, and they tweeted it, and I went back at like one or two of them. And next thing I know, I'm getting sent clips from listeners in Atlanta where they're talking about me for 5 and 6 minute stretches. And I really enjoy that my voice got on Atlanta airwaves and everybody got to hear that we believe Trae Young plays with no honor.
Jamie makes good Atlanta radio, Coach. And then they also said you should be somewhere else, right?
Oh, yeah. They said we're small market Topeka.
Because Atlanta is that big, bustling place.
And then they brought up the attendance records from the process years that we don't really like our team. What else?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and they're my
what low-bearing fruit did they grab?
They also made the point that my point about Hawks fans standing courtside the entire game was stupid.
Well, and I gotta agree with them.
No, man. In the first and quarter, you're standing courtside. It looks ridiculous. Sit down. They're trying to spin it as oh, we shouldn't be standing in the final minute of a playoff game. No, that's not even what I said. It was all game long. You weirdos standing courtside. I'm doubling down on it today. You're extra freaking weird. Sit down at the start of the game courtside. Nobody behind you likes you.
Topeka is calling on line two.
I don't think that's weird to stand courtside four quarters? It's not about you. When somebody stands in front of you at a game, it's annoying as hell. Those are the people with the best. They didn't have to stand.
You're talking in extremes here. They weren't standing the whole game. It was exciting times. I watched it last night.
Let's poll. Were they standing in the first and second quarters in the first half last night courtside?
Yes, there were times they were doing that.
Yes.
That's all right. It's an exciting time for them.
They have the best seats in the house. The people behind them are obstructed by their view.
Eight games at home every year, Eagles fan.
I can't believe you're defending these people.
But I can't believe you're upset about people standing and cheering in a game.
It's ridiculous. Watch NBA games in any other city. Nobody's standing in the first quarter.
Did you sit at all when the Eagles, when you go to an Eagles game, do you sit at all?
Yeah. I go with the flow of the crowd. If people stand, I stand.
Okay, that's what they did.
In the first quarter, the people behind them were sitting. They're ridiculous. You go stand courtside. Get out of here, Cooney.
You're 6'4". You can see over everybody anyway.
It's about the people behind me. I care about the people behind me.
He's a caring fan now, Connor. Oh my God. Connor, how ridiculous is this?
James, dude, that's absurd. Is it because they've been in your mentions all day yesterday? Is that what this is?
No,
because
I brought it up before.
Is it because Connor kicked your ass in golf yesterday?
No, that's not true either.
That's just not what he told me when we walked down to the copier.
Oh, come on. We didn't even put up a good effort. We were probably like a wash.
Yeah.
Overall.
I heard you guys both played well.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're defending this.
Are you from Atlanta? No. And look, I do not want to make more fodder for them. So let's.
I don't want to. Maybe I'll program their entire station again today. Kind of. The people also in the second, third, fourth, and fifth rows paid for their tickets too,
and they can also stand up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it was the moment, like heat of the moment.
Fourth quarter, obviously, you stand and cheer your team. Of course,
I don't know that there's a rule that when to stand and cheer and when not.
Well, the rule is I'm telling them they're weird.
That's not a rule.
It's my rule, Bob.
The rule is you're weird. Well, what kind of judge are you? My ruling is you're weird.
I'm a very, I make a lot of, you know, common sense decisions, and common sense says sit down in the first row of the first quarter of a game. Sit down, you weirdos.
The strangest things knock you off kilter. Like, you're upset that fans were standing and cheering at a game.
Early.
You sound like you're 70 years old.
Good. Get off my lawn.
Jamie wants golf claps all the time at games. So we kid about this, and I'm glad that the mood has changed since yesterday, because yesterday was wild. And listening to Anthony's show, listening to Mike's show, talking to friends, Coach was telling us about people on YouTube just going at each other, at us. It's almost as if the Sixers didn't get the blame yesterday. Everybody else in your life got the blame. Oh. I was ticked that I walked in and you guys were all, Jamie, not you so much, but that Connor and Egan were in horrible moods yesterday. Sixers
Twitter was a bloodbath yesterday. Everybody was infighting amongst each other.
Exactly.
Your take sucks. No, your take's like everybody was. It seemed like everybody needed to kind of get laid. Like our brains were full of evil. Like, it'd been a long time. We needed a slot.
So that's the next position.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to argue with you on this.
You know what I mean?
But when that happens, the solution is to get laid.
And have either of you ever been told?
And we're all going to get laid tonight in game five because the Sixers roll.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean, though? Like, you know when
no,
you,
I really don't.
You're a little ornery because you got the
sounds
evil
like you're
back
a little horny.
Up. No. And then, you know, you're just kind of frustrated and you got to get, you know. Game five is the release. That's tonight.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. We're all going to feel much better tomorrow morning.
So should we consider all this foreplay?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were just into some rough stuff last night.
It's the John Kincaid
Show. We like to torture ourselves.
We're here for your foreplay action from 6 to 10 a.m. This is really taking a turn. It's the Jamie Lynch Show. So what is your confidence level for tonight? And what needs to happen? Joel Embiid 0 for 12, just unfathomable. Tobias Harris, two shots in the fourth quarter, and I have something that I want to bring up next segment about Tobias Harris and something that Doc Rivers said during the game on a sideline interview that I think may have come into play in Tobias Harris's game.
Should we get the conspiracy?
It really is. And
conspiracy theory music ready?
I have no evidence. It's just something I saw and picked up on. And, you know, if I was back at my old job, I would have asked about it and I would have been told by coach and player, you're an idiot. That's not even what happened.
Well, can I play that role today?
But you've already played that role.
No, I mean, can I tell you, you're an idiot.
Oh,
my sex analogy was great. I think everybody understood what I meant.
610-632-0975. Is Jamie's sex analogy really good about what tonight is? And do you consider our show foreplay?
Oh my
Not
God.
Us.
We have nothing to do with it.
No? Okay.
No, Joel Embiid's
You have rules about this? Is Joel Embiid the biggest factor for tonight? I'm kind of leaning towards, I don't know if I force feed him tonight. I'm kind of leaning towards just play the game and let his come to him because he's that good. And if he's not feeling it, okay, then you make adjustments according to that. I don't know if I change the starting lineup tonight, although I don't love Furkan Korkmaz in the starting lineup.
There's not a lot of great options.
Why do you say that? I thought the other day we were arguing what the options are because there's so many good ones.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are great. I think they're all just going to be okay.
They're substitutes for a reason.
Yeah, so I can be swayed. I guess is my point.
All right, if they did,
I'm not married to Furkan.
If Doc Rivers came, married sex, what's with you today? If Doc Rivers came to you and said, Jamie, I'm not starting Furkan tonight, but who should I start? You would say, wow.
I don't
Shot
know.
Clock went off.
Yeah, I need another minute to think about that.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
But doesn't that speak volumes? That I don't have an immediate.
Well, I don't think it speaks volumes in a negative way. I think it speaks volumes in a positive way if we really look at it and take game four out of our minds that they have some good players that they could bring off the bench. It's a way that you want to go. I don't think it's like, oh, I don't want to start him. I don't want to start him. I don't want to start
him. I'm tempted by Shake and Ben playing down low and exploiting matchups.
That's an interesting take. We'll get into that further. I'm also going to talk about this conspiracy theory that I do have concerning Tobias Harris and Doc Rivers. Got to tell you, Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers, visit paworkinjury.com. John Kincaid Show here at 97.5, The Fanatic, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas. We got Coach Eric Camille. When we come back, conspiracy theory number one. Time at The Fanatic, 6:22.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Now, this is appropriate. After yesterday's reaction and negativity and just overall hate of the 76ers that we all took out on each other, it's a good day to be happy, Connor. Good choice of music right there. This is the John Kincaid Show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas in for Pat Egan today. And, of course, the coach, Eric Camille. We're talking about reaction from yesterday a little bit. And, of course, looking forward to tonight, Game 5. Jamie, is the winner of tonight's game the winner of this series? Is it that simple?
Yes. I looked it up last night just because I was curious. I knew it was an extremely high percentage. Why don't you take a guess, Bob, what the percentage is of teams that win Game 5 in a 2-2 series that go on to advance?
I'll go 69%.
Nice guess, but no. Connor?
Huh.
Well, why don't you say what you just said in my ear?
I'd say about 82%.
Ah, ding, ding, ding. 82 on the nose. I mean, I think you were privy to my email last night. So I hope you played with more honor than Trae Young, Connor.
Apparently I did not.
Well, okay, yeah.
We'll say coach didn't.
Ah, yeah.
Right under the bus.
Well, that makes sense since Trae Young's your favorite player. You like to play with no honor.
So before this series started, I said that I did like watching Trae Young play. And
Do
I did.
You?
Not now. No, I don't. And I'm not going to go with the dishonor stuff that you go with and honor and all that. I can't stand all the complaining, the looks. I can't stand it in the NBA. I hate all the complaining that goes on in the NBA. It's ridiculous. I blame players. I do blame referees also because I think players don't know how they're supposed to play a little bit now. I think the game needs to be called differently. But it is Trae Young is the biggest offender of both teams in this series by far.
Yeah, and look, you know, I had Atlanta people tweeting me back and chirping back at me yesterday. Oh, are you kidding me? Embiid does this. Embiid does. Yeah, Embiid flails down low on basketball plays and tries to draw fouls. He doesn't do unnatural jumping backwards, unnatural shooting motions just to draw. Not like that.
He does. He goes in the lane and he acts like he's jumping. He puts the ball at his hip and he throws it up. And he did
flails.
A move in the fourth quarter yesterday. Where he did a Euro step.
I know, yesterday was...
And then kind of like flipped it underneath and fell to the floor. And
yesterday was... Or, yeah, it was... Was that just yesterday?
Yeah, no, it was
2 days ago. 2 days ago, yeah.
I throw that game out. That was a weird game for him. Just the way he played, his style of play. It wasn't a normal Joel game. Like, so that one I kind of...
No, it was not a normal game by him at
like
all.
He physically wasn't responding well to that game or whatever it was. I'm not denying that Joel Embiid flails, but it's more natural than this crap.
It's a more natural flail.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's like saying you overact more than I overact or something like that. I mean, it's still...
One is jumping backwards. One is leaning forward in an unnatural shooting motion. The other is trying to draw a foul down low when you're paying amongst the Giants. Like, they're different things.
Okay.
They're different.
We're going to talk about this during this segment because it's one of my things about Joel Embiid and how he's viewed throughout the league. Leonard in Philly wants to talk about Trae Young's honor. Leonard, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, hey, guys. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Leonard.
Hopefully, we win tonight.
We better, or I'm in trouble.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I'm a diehard Sixers fan, 4-for-4, and you know, I used to play, you know, sports, obviously not professionally, but I just, the whole, you know, unnatural shooting motion, I mean, that's been going on for years, and, you know, it gets to the point where we get frustrated because we can't beat it, so, hey, let's change the rule. Do you think there's less honor in that?
I mean, it's gotten so
Thanks,
bad,
Leonard,
that the league is intervening. It's worse than it's ever been before. And Trae Young isn't alone. James Harden does this backwards movement thing. Chris Paul is another one. It's become, it's a savvy basketball play. No, it's cheap.
Yeah, so the NBA intervened a few years ago, and I was in a meeting with referees about it because it was a point of interest of the league when guys would go up and shoot and throw a leg out.
Yeah.
Right? Remember how popular that became?
Yeah.
And look how quickly it got taken out because it was a point of interest and they made it a rule. And this leads right into what you want to talk about of what the league is doing, and it is a linchpin.
Ah, jeez, Connor.
This is the linchpin.
Here goes the perfect show at 6:35. And that perfect show would have been brought to you by Rivers Casino Philadelphia. You can join myself and Tyrone Johnson tonight for Game 5 at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Watch the game on the 56-foot LED screen and enjoy $2 Miller Lights at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yeah, so it was funny to me, you know, I say the plays with no honor thing as a ridiculous statement. Like, could you imagine walking down to 20th and Diamond and walking up to the courts and telling some kid he doesn't play with honor? It's a funny kind of statement to me. You're playing the game dishonorably, son. Play the game with some honor. Nobody says that. That's why it was funny to me.
I think his style of play is
dishonorable.
Yeah. Kinda. He's a good enough player. He shouldn't need to play like that. And I have a feeling he's doing it more. See, the seed was planted last round. I was talking to my Knicks buddies, and they were like, dude, Trae Young's style of play is irritating as hell. It's not fun to watch at times. So he did, like, I had a seed planted, and then he started doing it multiple times a game.
Right.
He's at least three times a game with this crap. And then it just started to grow and grow and grow, and now I frankly hate his style of play. So I thought it was funny Atlanta, you know, took the bait to my joke and overreacted. And now, right after the show yesterday, oh, a Woj bomb. NBA league offices reviewing and probably instilling a new rule to eliminate unnatural shooting motions. This happens all the time. You get a guy to jump, and you lean forward 2 feet. Trae Young with the Matisse Thybulle play at the top of the key. Like, you had no intention of shooting the ball until you saw his back, and then you wanted to jump into him.
Right.
It's crap. I think it's bad for the product. Trae Young isn't the only one that does it, but he does it so much that Woj named him in the tweet. It was basically like, oh, yeah.
Woj listened to you yesterday.
Probably.
Woj is a
second away from tweeting, Trae Young plays with no honor. But they named Trae Young and James Harden in the Woj tweet and the story. And the league office is going to review that. And they're probably going to enact a rule change this offseason to eliminate it. Because I frankly do think it's bad for the product of the NBA.
I agree with you. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the way it plays out. It gives the game an unevenness of players defensively don't know what they can and cannot do. You're always taught that when a guy has a dribble and you're as a defender, you want to, obviously you're supposed to be faster without a ball than a guy is with a ball. You want to get in front of him and get that angle and get your proper defensive positioning. If you're running alongside of a guy, it doesn't mean an offensive player can break that plane and go into a defender.
Yeah.
I think it's going to become a point of interest. This is what the NBA does every year, James, and I just know this from, you know, being around it, is every year the officials will have points of interest.
Sure.
That they'll bring up, and they'll bring them to teams in training camp. And they'll let it be known to reporters and everybody that this is our points of interest and this is what we're really going to concentrate on, because the look is to get rid of it. So I really think this will be it, and it'll be a simple rule. You cannot break the plane of a defender.
Yeah.
And a defender's plane is, you know, his whole body straight up to the sky all the way down to the floor.
Yeah.
And if you break that plane as an offensive player, it's going to be an offensive foul.
Good.
If that was the case this series alone, Trae Young would have been in a lot of foul trouble, not have gotten to the line probably as much as he has at all.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, think about the players we just named. James Harden, two-time MVP. Chris Paul, perhaps a top five point guard ever and surefire Hall of Famer. Trae Young, a good to great player that still maybe has more room to grow. They're good enough. They don't need to do this crap. If it's Bruce Brown on the Nets looking for a way to the free throw line because he's getting locked up, okay, like I can see why he would want to do that.
You can't go there.
These guys
got to be an even playing field.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I could understand why Bruce Brown would want to do that. When I see a Trae Young or a James Harden do it, I go, you guys are too good for that crap. That's beneath you.
I hate it. I hate watching it. I hate that style.
They're better than that.
But sports is all about competitive advantage.
But that's not an advantage.
It is if it's putting you at the foul line.
Well, it shouldn't be, and the league's about to correct it.
It shouldn't be. I agree with you there.
So therefore it makes it cheap if it shouldn't be.
But right now, that's not the rule. So right now, what you're doing is you're doing something to gain an advantage.
But you
and
just,
that is sports in its essence.
But you just admitted that it's cheap.
It's cheap, no question about it. But,
okay.
All right, when you
so
play,
why should I not say, so I should say Trae Young plays with honor? Like,
no,
you're him and James Harden are too good of players to pull that crap.
So I would assume all right, let's do this.
James Harden was horrible last night.
Not really.
His numbers
say he was horrible, but it's amazing what he did last night. Yeah.
That's another topic.
So you're 6'4", you're at Catholic University, you're the biggest guy on the team by 3-4 inches, just say. And you have an advantage of catching a ball down low and turning around and scoring. That's your advantage.
Sure.
Is that cheap because they're like, well, wait, this guy can't just plant himself here? All right, it's almost like
3 seconds was put in place because of that.
But that's okay. But guys took advantage of it before it was put into place.
Yeah, but
that wasn't
a rule then. Like, you know, James Harden and Trae Young know what they're doing. And it's an unnatural BS move, and they know it's BS. Wilt Chamberlain back then, before 3 seconds, didn't think that was a cheap thing because it wasn't a rule in the league. Doesn't need to be a rule for you to know that it's cheap.
If you need a basket tonight, Sixers are down 1, 5 seconds to go, and Tobias Harris does that exact move to get to the foul line and win the game for you.
He won't.
Because
he plays with honor. I mean, you laugh.
I'm trying to be on your side, but you have to pick up any kind of advantage you can as an athlete. And if it means that until they change the rules, so be it.
If Tobias Harris does that, I'll rip him tomorrow. They won't do it. Embiid flails, but that's a different type of thing. He's playing in the land.
No, you wouldn't. If the Sixers take a 3-2 lead,
if Tobias Harris jumps into somebody's back,
that's a BS
or jumps,
win because Tobias Harris was dishonorable.
Yeah, I'll say that was a cheap bucket.
It's a cheap bucket, but you have to do whatever you have to do to win
games.
Do you
love Trae Young? Is he paying you?
Oh, my God.
Just admit it's crap. The league is telling you it's crap.
And they will.
So why are you against me?
I'm not against you. I'm just saying that maybe this is why you weren't a very good athlete, because you have to look for competitive advantage in any way you can.
No, I played with honor.
It's just like, what is it, spider what? Track?
Spider tack.
Spider tack?
Yeah.
You do it until they tell you you can't do it anymore, Dame. I'm serious.
But you know it's cheating. Spider tack is illegal.
Okay, but
your analogy sucks.
No, it doesn't. You're the guy who wants them to take steroids again. You said
HGH,
it was all good.
It's better than steroids. It's more natural.
It's just like the process, dude.
Yeah.
It's like,
hey, Egan, pipe down in there.
Oh, my God. Your face got... I thought you were going to jump through the glass yesterday when Egan said... It was kind of a decent point.
No, it wasn't. It was a horrible point.
There's parallels there.
No, there's not.
There absolutely is. You're stretching the rules. You're doing whatever you can to be better in the limits of the rules, whether people like it or not. And until they change the rules, you're not going to stop doing it.
He was talking about building a roster compared to a cheap play.
I mean, it was extreme. But there are parallels. It was like Egan going up against you and anything else. He's 5'3", you're 6'4". His point was small, yours was bigger, but there were parallels. You're both making sense.
You're on my side. I don't know why you're sticking up for Trae Young. It's cheap.
I'm not sticking up for Trae Young.
The NBA is telling you this can't go on because it's bad for the product. Nobody likes watching that. If I'm a Hawks fan,
I agree. I don't like watching that. But you like to watch your team in a series, and a big part of them being in this series is because of the way Trae Young is playing.
But I would just say, Trae Young, you're good enough to not do that. James Harden shouldn't need to jump backwards into a defender that's on his hip.
So you're going to classify what players aren't good enough
that should
be able to do it, like a Bruce Brown.
Bruce Brown, I can go, all right, you're not a very good player. And he's an NBA player, so he's good. I don't mean it like that. But like... Okay, I can understand why you'd want to get to the free throw line. Trae Young, James Harden, you're good players, great players even. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't like the style of play. I can't stand it. The NBA is really, I'm really sour on, you know, watching the game last night. Great, great game. Phenomenal, terrific game. But the constant, what you're talking about, weird, unnatural offensive moves to create contact and fouls,
yeah.
Referees having to call it because, yes, the rule isn't in place as of yet. It does make it a hard subject to watch.
Yeah. And you know, Steve Nash, who got bailed out by Kevin Durant last night, called Trae Young out for the same thing in January. You know, and Trae Young had a retort that I think was pretty good by most people's review. Steve Nash said, that's not basketball. It's not.
Yeah, I'm there with you.
So you think it's going to be an offensive foul if they break the plane of the defender?
So if a defender is perpendicular...
Like Matisse has been many times in this series.
And not leaning...
Like the one and when he's driving down the left side of the lane.
That was ridiculous.
Matisse played perfect defense. Trae Young launched into him, as he does, and Matisse gets called for the foul.
I don't know how that was a foul.
It wasn't. It was perfect defense.
It's ridiculous. And the explanation, and look, I love Steve Javy, but the explanation of that Matisse Thybulle wasn't in a defensive position. He was running alongside of the defender. I don't know what that means.
So is this rule going to become a slippery slope?
No, I don't think so.
It's pretty cut and dry. When you see it, you know?
I think it's going to... I don't want to say it's going to be overly called, but look, things have to evolve. Players figured out a way to put the referees in a bind.
Yeah.
Hey, if I dip into this guy, this could happen. Or if I stop on a dime when somebody's behind me, they have to make that call. They've put them in a bind. Now the referees have to adjust to what the players adjusted to also. So I think they will. Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of offensive fouls called early next year and in preseason especially.
Precedent.
Exactly. To say, guys, stop. This is not happening anymore.
Well, it's interesting that my point was raised yesterday. All of the Peachtree State got on me. Yet the NBA came down and basically said, it's a problem. So, yeah. point me.
Yeah, I would say Jamie Lynch rules the NBA, owns Atlanta. I don't know what else to say
more
about you. Yeah,
I'm really John Kincaid now. I'm from Atlanta. That's my city.
He shot a 3-under par yesterday, 18 holes. Like, there's nothing Jamie Lynch can't do.
I wish I shot 3-under. That would have been cool.
All right, so it's funny. The ire that you bring up towards Trae Young, towards James Harden, the style of play, whatever it may be, I wonder if the rest of the NBA looks at someone here the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Joel Embiid.
And I get it.
I totally get it. So the other night, you know, he's doing the flail and he played poorly. He's, you know, going bigger picture. A lot of times talking about himself, saying that he wants the MVP. I'm just trying to be dominant. I should be defensive player of the year. He does a lot of things that turn other people around the NBA
totally
off. We love him. And people around the NBA don't see him stopping at a street and playing pickup ball with kids.
Sure.
They don't know all the great stuff that he does in the community. But the other night, he's walking off the court, and he turns to the fans and tells them, you know, shut the bleep up, all of that stuff. He's probably well-hated around the NBA.
I think so.
Is it a good thing or a bad thing for him? Does he play off of it, do you think? Because I ask this as an honest question. Because I'm watching Trae Young during this series really closely, and I'm thinking that the aggravation and the irritation that he's feeling towards referees, I think it's affecting him in a negative way a little bit. You know, 6-for-28 the other night. I don't think it propels Trae Young to play better when he gets irritated, angry, questioning referees, and I don't think he gets calls because of it. Do you think Joel Embiid's actions help him on the floor?
You mean complaining to the refs or just
not
all
just
of it?
Just all of it. Everything that encompasses what Joel Embiid does.
I think mostly yes, because he's always kind of been a troll. You know, his Twitter handle is Joe Troel Embiid or whatever. He's always kind of roasted people on social media. This year he kind of leaned into being the heel, like the whole Triple H thing and the crotch movements and all that. I think he's okay with being the heel. And judging
thrives on it, maybe.
Yeah, I really do. I think the results backed it up this year. Outside of last game, he was probably an MVP of the league this year, if not for some games missed. So yeah, I think it suits him well. I think he knows it. I think he accepts it, and I think he has fun with it. And if you're doing that, I think it brings out the best in his game.
So those are my feelings exactly. And you and I hadn't talked about this. I think Joel Embiid thrives off of it. I think it really affects Trae Young. Keep an eye on it tonight when you're watching the game. When Trae Young gets really upset with referees and starts showing himself, just watch if it takes him a couple minutes to recover to calm himself down. Because I think I kind of noticed a little bit in watching game 4 again last night that when he gets upset, it's not good for his game. And maybe that's something the Sixers can play on a little bit because, quite frankly, I don't think they've, in air quotes, beaten up Trae Young enough in this series. And I look at the defensive end where he's standing around way too much and not doing much of anything. And at the offensive end, when you're jumping out on picks on him, jump out another foot or two and knock him on his ass once in a while. And I'm not calling for bad, cheap stuff at all. You got to let him know you're there. You have to take
Run
advantage.
Run him into a Ben Simmons screen.
Yeah, you have to take advantage of somebody that's, quite frankly, hurting you as a team. You have to take advantage that he's 6 foot, 165 pounds.
Yeah.
And you're a bunch of monstars. I think you need him to feel you just a little bit more. 610-632-0975. Let us know what you feel about the Sixers tonight. The positivity is through the roof today, I believe, from the people that we've talked to, friends that I've talked to, Jamie and I. I think the Sixers win tonight. I think they're going to put forth a good effort. There's nothing about the other night that should make us think that, because that second half was absolutely horrible. And I do want to get into this. I will get into it when we come back. There was something that happened with Doc Rivers on an interview during the game. And I have a feeling it might be directly related to the way Tobias Harris played in the second half. And that wasn't good. This is the John Kincaid Show. John's on vacation. So you got Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas in for the vacationing for today. Pat Egan along with Coach Eric Camille. Time at the Fanatic is 6:52. And we got Buffalo. I don't have anything here. Buffalo Wild Wings is the place where you got to get back to. That's why I love normalcy so much. We can all get back, get out with each other, and a great place to go is Buffalo Wild Wings. That's right. They got great burgers, great wings, some of the best beer you could ever want. And the greatest thing is you sit down, and there's not one, not two. There's probably about 50 TVs with a whole bunch of different sporting events on. So get back out. Get to Buffalo Wild Wings. It's the place to be now that normalcy has returned.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney here with Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas, Coach Eric Camille. Pat Egan has taken the day off today to recharge his batteries after he was a little upset yesterday following the Sixers' loss.
He gets emotional.
He ticks me off a little bit with his emotions. Yeah. And Pat's emotions are brought to you by NJM Insurance Group. Committed to being upfront with their customers, NJM. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. Get a quote today at NJM.com. Yeah, so Egan will come in and after an Eagles loss, after a Sixers loss, and you can't even say hello to him. Or I'll be like, yo, dude, what's up? I'll scream and, Bob, shut up. How can you be like that today? And I tell him because I'm an adult. But here's my line of thinking now, Jamie.
Do we have the conspiracy theory music ready?
No, this isn't conspiracy theory, okay. This one. No,
all right.
We'll get into that in a second. But here's my other thought. You know, all the talk this offseason and then during the season was to get to the playoffs, get the number one seed, and be healthy to make a good playoff run. Well, you got the number one seed, which is great. But now you have a starter out, and another one seems to be pretty hobbled in Joel Embiid. I wanted so badly, and I think we all did, to see this team and see how good they could be. And now I don't think it's going to happen. And it really upsets me. I love the way this team was built in the offseason. I thought that Elton Brand and Daryl Morey put together a terrific surrounding cast.
And it'll make sense soon.
Surrounding Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, getting two veteran shooters like you got in Danny Green and Seth Curry, I thought was terrific. They have a really nice young core that we've talked about endlessly and have showed not only that they could do really good things during the regular season, but now are carrying it over into the playoffs. I have like this little black cloud, and I'm not pissed off, but I'm upset that it's a shame we're not going to see this team at its totality, I don't believe, in this playoff run yet again. And we've gone through it before. We've gone through NBA poops and all that stuff with Joel Embiid in playoffs past. Last year, you didn't have Ben Simmons at all for the playoffs. The one time that you had this team pretty much fully healthy was when they lost on a quadruple doink. I just wish to God we could have seen this team in its totality try to make a championship run this year. And with Joel Embiid struggling with this injury, Danny Green out, looking to see who that fifth starter is going to be, I just feel bad that us as watchers and fans of the team just aren't going to see that. And it leaves me semi-speechless, Jamin, and it puts almost a little dark cloud over this whole playoff run.
Well, you have plenty of broken heart equity that you can look back on, and we're used to this, unfortunately.
Why? I don't want to be used to it.
Well, I don't know. There's a dark cloud that hangs over this whole process. You know what I mean? And it hangs on Joel Embiid's health. And once again, I mean, look, Danny Green, we talked about, he's a bigger loss than maybe a lot of people realize. He lets that second unit kind of fall into place a little bit. Now you're pulling somebody up out of there, and you still need the shooting and the defense. Like, Danny's clutch because he gives you the shooting threat and gives you solid veteran team defense and mostly high basketball intelligence.
Yeah.
And that's not easy to replace, no. Even if he's putting up 4 points in a game.
And it's
so it sucks, but I hate to say I'm used to it, but I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't want to be used to it.
I know, but I'm like looking back 3 years ago. I mean, even now where they're at is better than they were versus the Raptors. We were pulling up the box scores this morning.
Yeah.
Their bench was Greg Monroe, Mike Scott, and like Boban.
I just wish to God and...
Oh, sorry, James Ennis.
Yeah, James Ennis also.
Boban was inactive in game 4 or 5 versus the Raptors.
Yeah, the stuff we were like, you know what I mean? Like, we'll put your head in a pretzel.
At least we're in a better situation than we've been.
So the 76ers have graduated from that, okay, it's not just a two-man team, a three-man team, whatever yes. It may have been.
There's actual some valid depth here.
But it's been a long time since I've looked so forward to a season because I thought the pieces were so good. And all year long, that's all it was talked about. We debated load management, and we talked about this and the other. And Danny Green, for all those people who don't think it's a big loss, well, it is a guy who was in the starting lineup that compiled a 32-7 record. That's pretty good. And now you have to get used to not playing with him, and somebody has to get used to being in that starting lineup, which is different. And now you have Joel Embiid battling this torn meniscus and, you know, being hobbled, and it's going to be on his mind and all of ours every game, which is different. It just sucks. When I go down this alley, I hate that I do, but it's the reality of it. Yeah, we're getting used to injuries and not having a full team come playoff time every year.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
The way you... Oh, okay.
But I can't... Like, this is what I expect now.
What?
I mean, kind of. We haven't had 1 year where this hasn't been an issue in Joel Embiid's time here. And look, Danny's big and all, but if Joel Embiid is hobbled again tonight...
He's going to be hobbled for the rest of the series.
Yeah, he said himself, you know, I need to be better, but I'm not going to be 100% until after the year.
Yeah, I'm watching one of the sports guys last night that said Joel Embiid is questionable for tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, he's questionable every game.
The team has come out and said he's going to be questionable for the rest of the playoffs.
But this is kind of what it is. I expect, and I'm not saying that's cool or right, but that's our norm. Isn't that awful?
It sucks. Like, I hate it because I think this team was really...
This is our new norm!
This team was really primed in my mind for a championship run.
Absolutely.
And look, we saw it in 17-18 with the Eagles that team was primed for a championship run. They lost their starting quarterback, and we thought, oh, it's not going to happen, and it did. This team can't win without a healthy Joel Embiid.
To bring it back to another analogy, I saw somebody calling Seth Curry the 2008 Shane Victorino on Twitter the other night. And I was like, that's pretty good.
That is good.
But did you feel differently after game 3? Because Joel was still hobbled. I felt great after game 3. I thought the series was over, and I thought they had legit championship DNA. And I'm not going to let game 4 knock me off that. If Joel can not give you what he gave you in the second half last game, I still think they're as good as anybody.
Yeah, and I couldn't find fault after game 3, and I came on these airwaves and said it. There was really nothing that I could find fault with, and Joel Embiid was spectacular. He almost had a triple-double. He was unstoppable, yes. And then you watch the performance the other night. The valleys with him are alarming.
But they're come playoff few time. And far between.
Well... Yeah, I could be wrong in my thing. I hope to God I am. Because you were going over some numbers
from... The games 4 and 5 of the Raptors series 2 years ago, because the Mickey Mouse bubble, I just kind of...
Right, I blow that off also.
I swipe it off the shelf, and that was just crap.
You're a swiper.
You know, Simmons was hurt, and Bede was moping. Brett Brown was a lame duck coach. Tobias disappeared. Shake Milton was thrust from shooting guard to point guard into the starting unit with, like, 2 weeks to prepare. It was terrible. So I went back to the year before, and, you know, game 4 was the infamous NBA poops. Joel Embiid missed the game, struggled. He ended up, I think he was a plus 17 on the court, but he only had 11 points. He didn't have a ton of rebounds. He just wasn't good.
Right.
So I was like, all right, let me go look at game 5. Because my memory is that he bounced back. he didn't really bounce back.
No.
And whether he was still sick or not, he was better. I think he had like 17 points and maybe like 11 boards, 10 defensive, 1 offensive. It was good from the line. But again, wasn't the Joel Embiid we all kind of expected.
Right.
So I was hoping, looking those up, I was going to quell my fears about tonight, but it didn't really give me that. But then Game 6 and Game 7, he was pretty solid again. And, you know, it is what it is. I fully expect him to answer the bell tonight. I think it's going to be mission plan number one for Doc and Joel to just get going again.
Here's hoping. Here's hoping.
Do you expect it?
I don't know. I expect Joel to come out and play well tonight. I just don't know. Look, when he's feeling pain, he doesn't really
He wears it in his whole body.
He wears it. And it comes out in his play. I was taught at an early age, early part of my career, I should say, never question someone's injury because you just don't know. You don't know. You don't know how they feel. And to question whether Joel Embiid, how much he is hurting is ludicrous. I mean, that's one
it's
of the most...
It's almost the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Should we put up a poll about it?
So you can't do that. You just can't question it. The other night, he looked awfully hurt.
The shots he was getting were decent looks. So, like, clearly something wasn't right because he was short. He was front rimming everything.
Yeah.
Which usually tells you that your legs aren't under you. He said after the game, you know, he wanted to dunk but kind of couldn't push off as well as he thought. So clearly he was hurting, but I mean, still, that layup he makes 999 times out of 1,000.
That's even if he's hurt. We've had times.
So I just chalk it up to horribly the outlier awful evening. And I think he'll bounce back. I do.
Okay. All right.
Well, the question is, can they win the game with him just being okay?
Sure they can. I believe they can. I said before the series started, a healthy Joel Embiid, not a healthy. I just think the Sixers have that much depth that they're better than Atlanta. Now, Atlanta was one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team, coming down the stretch once they made Nate McMillan their coach. Look, they're legit. They're not as good
as
the Sixers.
Team, sure.
They may be the worst team left in the playoffs.
I like a couple of their players a lot.
Yeah, but...
Not Trae Young because he plays.
Yeah, I hope the guy Joel Embiid comes out tonight, repeats a Game 3 performance, a Game 2 performance, a Game 1 performance. Joel Embiid has been phenomenal except for Game 4 the other night. Valleys, though, are what scared me, but I don't think we're going to see anything close to another 0 for 12.
I'll give you $50 in free money at the sportsbook of your choice tonight on Joel Embiid's over-under. Let's just assume it's 30.5, which it was last game.
All right, I'll take that dollar bet with you.
I said it was $50. The sports book of your choice.
How about me and you do a dollar bet? You have 30.5 over. You have over 30.5, and I have under.
Oh, so you are going to take the under. I was going to ask you where you're placing your bet.
Yeah,
and you'll go under.
I'll go under.
I'll take the over.
Okay,
we'll just do the beer. We'll do a beer bet.
All right, a beer bet.
You owe me a draft of my choice and vice versa.
You got it. And guess what we got tonight, Jamie? It's a special, special, special night.
It's not a normal one.
No, it's not. It's a Beers with Bob night because every Wednesday is. But tonight it's going to be even more special because we are going to be in the Wells Fargo Center. That's right. Me, Devon Givens, Andrew Salchunas will be live then at the Wells Fargo Center. We're going to be sitting right by Section 106 on the main concourse. Come on in early. Come over. Say hello. We'll be down there breaking down the Sixers Hawks game 5 tonight. Have a lot of fun. Try to stop by and see us. We are going to have a lot of fun. Jamie, any chance you're going to the game tonight?
None. Because I will be at Rivers Casino with Tyrone Johnson tonight doing the viewing party. 56-foot LED screen. The Rivers Casino Sportsbook there has gorgeous TVs. And we'll be giving away prizes at the end of each quarter. And usually there's a grand prize at the end that's pretty damn sweet. With some Sixers trivia going on. $2 Miller Lights. Stop on by. I just saw the dumbest tweet I think I've seen in weeks.
From Atlanta?
No.
Oh.
From Reggie Miller.
Oh.
I kind of like Reggie.
Yeah, I don't mind Reggie Miller at all.
He's been, I don't think his, when he does color, it's the greatest thing in the world. But I've enjoyed him as a guest on the Dan Patrick Show. I think he's got a good personality, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Great player. I'm just going to throw this out there to see what the responses will be. If you're Steve Nash in the Nets, would you sit James Harden and Kevin Durant in Game 6 because of the heavy minutes they played tonight and push all your chips to the center for Game 7?
What?
What?
Is Reggie okay?
That's the craziest. Kevin Durant did play every minute last
every
night.
Single minute.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Harden went
45,
I think
it was 45.
That's amazing. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Do you think
so now we're doing load management in the playoffs
for entire
now.
Games. Do you think somebody kidnapped Reggie? Is he all right?
Well, let's think about it. You know, what if the Sixers go up 3-2 tonight? Do you rest Joel Embiid in Atlanta?
Should they rest Joel Embiid game 6? 6-1-0. What the hell is Reggie talking about?
I don't know.
In any situation, sit Kevin Durant.
Maybe Reggie has a head injury, and if he does, you should go to Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. That is a crazy, crazy comment.
Kevin Durant just
coming from a guy who played in an era where you never sat.
And Kevin Durant just had like an all-time performance last night. He had a triple-double, 49 points, barely missed, saved Steve Nash's job, exposed Giannis again.
Wait, whoa. Saved Steve Nash's job.
Yeah, I think they would have thought about it. I don't think they would have.
If Brooklyn loses this series, you think Steve Nash's job?
Not necessarily. I think there's a chance. Because they only have like a 2 or 3 year window. They might go for a more experienced coach.
They brought him in because Kevin Durant and James Harden wanted him there.
Yeah. Well, James Harden wasn't there when the decision was made, Bob. It was just Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Their off-season workout buddy. Did you see the hug Steve Nash gave him last night? It was like you saved my job, bro.
I never, ever, ever heard or thought that Steve Nash's job would even a little bit be in jeopardy.
Because they only have a 2 or 3 year window up there, I think they would have considered going for a veteran coach. I don't think it's an outlandish thought. I'd give it 20% at most, but I think it would have crossed their mind.
Huh. I have to thoroughly disagree.
You think Budenholzer's done in Milwaukee if they lose this?
Probably. He's that coach where it's kind of get it done or get out. And it happened in Atlanta. Although he rebuilt Atlanta very well. I thought he did a really good job down there. And then he goes out to Milwaukee and turned it around, made a team that had some pieces, and they got some more pieces. But I think he's a very good coach. But that's what sports is now. It's a what have you done lately for me. It's just like we talked about before. Are we too quick to pull the trigger on things? You know, Zion Williamson, is he a Hall of Famer? He's been in the league for 10 seconds.
But Milwaukee's out of options now. Like, they pushed all in to get Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
And they have Chris. Like, they're pretty much locked into what they got. And the DiVincenzo
but it's
injury.
It's the first year that they've locked in. You know,
Budenholzer's first year.
No, I hear
and
you.
He's
and
come
they
up
probably,
short
they
in the
probably
playoffs.
Will make a move if he doesn't get it done.
Do you think they call the what?
What was
you think
that?
They call what?
No.
Do you think he gets a head coaching job or look or interview again?
I do. I think he'll get a look. I think it'll be a team probably, not the rebuilding fashion that the Sixers were in, but if you're a young team that, look, Brett Brown, I know all about his shortcomings, X's and O's and all of that. The one thing that Brett Brown did really well was more behind the scenes stuff, and it was phenomenal. The way he got players to buy in and all of that, and when you're looking to change an organization's culture, he's somebody that they would consider. And then, you know, but is he going to get that label of he's the guy you get to rebuild and then you get somebody that can come in and win? I don't know if Brett Brown's going to go for that.
No.
He's, you know, I was talking to it with friends the other night. Brett's got to be close to 60 years old or something like that. So I don't know if he's, you know, looking to restart anything or whatever. And
he is 60 on the nose.
Okay. Yeah. He's had a long career. I don't know. I have no idea.
Sport. I would retire so quick it would make your head spin.
Yeah. You know what? And he's okay. Put it that way.
I'd be out fishing. Well, you know, following my kids.
He
and just
loves
enjoying
doing
life
that too. Yeah. There's no doubt about
that.
See
ya, NBA.
Yeah. This Brett Brown report is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. Nobody should have to pay for one size fits all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Okay. So, during the game the other night, here is my conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
Connor, if you want to get the music rolling on my conspiracy theory, feel free.
Oh, this is going to be good. You're not a conspiracy theory guy.
So, no. The other night, Doc Rivers gets interviewed during the game, which they do, which I don't think any of us are a real fan of because it's just kind of silly. But they ask him, what do you need to keep doing, coach? And he says, play defense. got to keep shooting threes, too. It's not the first time I heard Doc Rivers say that, and I understand that's the way of the league and all that. So I saw it again last night, and I'm watching the game, and I'm really concentrating on Tobias Harris in the second half and why he didn't do much of anything. Not once, not twice, three times, Tobias Harris had dribble drives into the lane, mid-range, which is his game, right, James? Mid-range, I think we could all classify, is his game. He gets mid-range and kind of gives it the old, nah, I'm passing it out to Matisse Thybulle. Three times, all three times, to Matisse Thybulle out on a wing in three-point shooting area. I was wondering, like, is Tobias Harris maybe hearing this three-point shooting a little too much for his liking? It's a conspiracy theory, but I thought it was odd that, again, I heard Doc Rivers say three-point shooting, and then I look at Tobias Harris get into his mid-range game, and then just kind of like, all right, no, here, you have it, because you're a three-point, you're out at the three-point line.
I think you're crazy.
I probably am. But it was really, I wish to God I had the tape.
You rewatched it, I didn't rewatch it.
I know,
it.
I wish I had the tape in today, because if you would see it, he had like Herter on him one time, Bogdanovich on him another time. Come on, I'll take Tobias Harris one-on-one with those guys every day of the week. And he did. He broke him down. It was a dribble drive. Got to like 15. I'm waiting for him to rise up. And he kind of just, no, I'll throw it out to the wing. It caught my eye. Put it that way.
Isn't he just doing what the coach wanted?
Does he want to do what the... That's not his game, though. Tobias Harris isn't a three-point shooter, per se. He's a mid-range guy.
Yeah, he averages 3.4 attempts per game on the year. So
you needed baskets.
This is why I think you're crazy. If Doc says, hey, I want to get some threes up, if I'm Tobias, I go, okay. I might not be the one scoring them, but maybe I can draw some attention to me in my mid-range and kick to the open shooter. Why Thybulle was that option?
Yeah, I don't know. And you're right. I probably am crazy. Conspiracy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you are.
But it caught my eye because it was the fashion of his past too. And it was almost like, oh yeah, I'm not allowed to do this type of thing.
What else did you notice from him? Was he off ball, not moving as much as I thought he was?
There wasn't a lot of movement from anybody. I think they were really concentrating on getting the ball inside to Joel Embiid. And it was like, we know he's off today and he can't move that well, so let's just all four stand around and try to dump to him. There really wasn't good offense at all. And no, I didn't notice him much moving. Like I said, when he got it, he dribble drove, got where he wanted to be, and then just passed out. I thought it was really passive and very, very odd. And so, you know, I decided to come up with this conspiracy theory.
Yeah, you're crazy. And your craziness is brought to you by PropSwap. Bob, we were just looking at it. The U.S. Open is here, and PropSwap is the app we use to buy and sell bets all weekend long. So buy a golf bet today and then sell it this weekend for a huge profit when the odds increase. Go to PropSwap.com today.
It is the John Kincaid Show here at 97.5 The Fanatic. John is on vacation until next Tuesday, so holding the reins is me, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas today for Pat Egan, and Coach Eric Camille. When we get back, plenty to talk about with the Sixers tonight and Hawks. Jamie has a thought about Doc Rivers and what he had to say about Ben Simmons. Time at The Fanatic, 7:22.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is 97.5 The Fanatic. John Kincaid Show. Game day, game five.
Woo!
I posted to you at the 6 o'clock hour, but for those who weren't up, I pose it to you again, one Mr. Jamie Lynch. Is the winner of tonight's game the winner of the series?
Yes, because history tells you that. I mean, there's an 18% chance you have if you lose a game tonight of advancing. 18%.
Wow.
That's not good.
No.
I'd much rather be on the 82% side of things and feel much better about my team advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals because I think it's wide open. As good as Brooklyn and Milwaukee are, I think the Sixers are just as good. So it might be a real opportunity. Hobble Joel Embiid and no Danny Green or not. Let's get to the NBA Finals and give Danny Green a chance to get back.
You know, that was a really good game last night, Bucks-Nets.
It was. I thought, the Nets put up 15 points in the first quarter.
Yeah.
At home, you're going, what the hell? Harden's hobbled.
Yeah, but it was, I really enjoyed it. I thought the basketball was good. It was a really good game. Nice comeback by Brooklyn to get the win there. And so I'm looking at it, and I think most of us say, all right, that was a good game. The team that was behind most of the game made a comeback and wound up winning. Did we not have that? Look, I know we're Sixers fans and followers, so obviously we're not going to have the same take. But could you look at the Sixers-Hawks game from the other night and say, oh, that was a good game, if you're an unbiased watcher? I mean, are there parallels here?
No, because I thought the Sixers looked like watching paint dry. Like, they were not. I mean, Joel Embiid and
Milwaukee game, fans might say that Milwaukee was like that in the fourth quarter last night also.
Sure.
Yeah, no, it was just something that popped into my head.
I didn't think it was good basketball the other night, though.
Because
Atlanta, tried to give you the game. Like, their possessions down the stretch weren't good either.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Sure.
Egan made a great point yesterday,
stop.
Jamie. A great point.
You're going to have T-Dog texting him. His head's going to get all big. We're talking about him on his day off.
So
let him be.
Sixers go up 92-88 with 9:14 to go on a Shake Milton three. Okay?
Shake.
92-88, 9:14 to go. You're up four. Here's what the Sixers did defensively and then their offense. They're up four. They hold. Tobias Harris then kicks out while being covered by Herter on a dribble drive where he looks like he can rise up, kicks out the Thibel, who misses a shot.
Yeah, that's to me where the coach's suggestion goes out the window, because 2 points there is better.
Exactly.
Is better than anything.
Exactly.
You got to build a lead in any way you can.
So
you
he
can't
misses.
Be stagnant.
Atlanta goes down. Sixers hold again. Harris gets the ball, goes in for a layup. It gets blocked. Atlanta goes down. Sixer hold them again.
Yeah, their defense down the stretch was good.
8 minutes to go.
The offensive rebounds is where it killed me.
Shake Milton misses a runner. A pretty good try, misses a runner. Sixers hold Atlanta again. They come down. Shake Milton walks. Sixers hold Atlanta again. Embiid shoots an air ball after coming into the game. Now, this was weird. Embiid came into the game with 7:24 to go, and even the announcer said something. I didn't notice it that much when I was watching the game live. He took forever to check into the game. Like, stood at the scorer's table. The refs are waving him, took off his warm-up, fixed a sock, tucked in his shirt. They held the ball and held the game up for a good minute while he got to where he was supposed to be on the floor. It was really odd. Odd enough that the announcers even. Anyway, they hold them. Embiid shoots a air ball fadeaway 15-footer right after coming into the game. Then it happens. It's 6:26. Trae Young hits a runner on Tobias Harris to make it 92-90. Harris then comes down and dribbles the ball off his knee. It goes out of the bounds. Embiid then goaltends. The game's tied up 92-92. Tobias Harris misses a 10-footer. They go down. They give up an offensive rebound, the Sixers do. Young then hits an alley-oop to Capella. Boom, 5:15 to go. They're up 94-92. Embiid commits an offensive foul. It was all right
but
there
even,
for them.
Even after the Furkan 3 came a little later, right? Wasn't that at the 3-minute
mark? Furkan 3 came at like 2:42.
Yeah. I thought the game was over then.
So did I. But that series there.
Their defense was great down the stretch.
All the more reason why, and I had one of the pass outs on there, Tobias Harris looked disinterested in getting anything going offensively.
Yeah, it was really
strange.
He had
Herter and Bogdanovich on him. I'm sorry, your coach just told us 2 weeks ago when these playoffs were starting that when Tobias Harris has a one-on-one situation, he's going straight line, he's unstoppable. What was going on yesterday?
I don't know, but hopefully Tobias and the coaching staff have corrected it.
I mean,
that can't happen again.
I hope it can, and it better not. Casey in Abington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Case?
Hello?
Hey, Case. You're on the air. Before we get into your thoughts about this, who's the big player for tonight after Joel Embiid? Who has to have that game that we're talking about tomorrow? Yeah, but how about who?
Tobias Harris. Yeah. Yeah, I need to see a max player. Like, you know, I can say Shake Milton to give you a spark off the bench. That's cute and all. I can say George Hill giving you the unexpected great run we've been waiting for.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I could say Furkan gets hot from deep. I could say Dwight Howard. I need my max players to answer.
Okay.
And it's got to be Tobias Harris to me because, you know, Ben can affect the game in other ways. If he can just give you 13 to 15 points, I'm pretty content with that. I shouldn't be, but I am at this stage in his career. I need Tobias Harris to be that scorer. I need him to be great. You know, during our last conversation about Embiid's valleys, I got a text from our buddy VG.
Uh-huh.
And he said, his valleys don't concern me nearly as much as the valleys from the other two max players. He said, Tobias and Ben, their valleys, they seem to disappear. Joel's valleys, at least he's present and attempting. The other two fall into the shadows. So that's just inexcusable.
Yeah.
And for Tobias, who had such a great year, to fall into the shadows in a playoff game in the second half, it's just inexcusable. You can't do that. You're paid a max contract, and I understand. Who cares what they make? Well, you look to your three max players to carry you in the playoffs. So I need Tobias Harris to be the second best player on the court tonight.
Look, that was what was in my mind yesterday as I'm watching. I'm thinking, why the hell isn't this guy rising up? He's dribble penetrating into an area where he is deadly, to that 10 to 15 foot area, and he's passing out. Not only is he passing out, he's passing out to Matisse Thybulle. Three times.
Yeah, that makes
no
sense.
To Matisse Thybulle, who's open on a wing because Atlanta doesn't respect his
three-point
shooting.
Well, sure, why would you? Yeah. It's like Russell Westbrook. Leave him open for three.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I would rather see four shots. VG makes a great point. Joel Embiid at least tried. He went 0 for 12.
Yeah.
He got 12 shots up. Yeah. You know, you're Ben Simmons, you get one, and you're Tobias Harris, you get two.
I think it was just, Ben in the second half, but in the
Ben
fourth,
in the second
fourth
half,
quarter,
zero.
It was two
fourth
combined.
Quarter. Right,
for
exactly.
The, for
and
the
both,
both
Tobias
of them.
Harris.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's horrible. Q in the Northeast, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Q?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good.
What's
how you feeling?
I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for having me. I just wanted to talk real quick about the Sixers. Obviously, it's a big game tonight. I called last week, and I can't remember who I spoke with, but I made a few points about Ben Simmons. Not bringing him down or anything like that, but, after watching the game the other night, you know, I think we focus a lot on, you know, Embiid. You know, obviously Embiid didn't have his best game. Tobias was quiet in the second half, but I think that, you know, when you look at Ben Simmons, him being aggressive and being able to take that next level offensively, I think that gets the Sixers to the next level. And I said it again, Ben has to be more aggressive. I mean, only taking one or two shots. If Ben Simmons has 15 to 20 points that game, being aggressive in the fourth quarter, despite everything else, I think the Sixers come out with a win. He's unstoppable. And if he gets confidence with his free throws, I think he'll attack the basket a little bit more. And I think he'll take the Sixers over, you know, the hump to get them to the next level. So I think Ben has to be more aggressive. And, you know, he obviously Tobias is going to be the second best player offensively. But Ben Simmons on any given night when he's aggressive, he can be the second best player on the floor after Embiid any given night when he's aggressive. So that's the point that I wanted to make. But go Sixers. I think they're going to win tonight and then take it back to Atlanta and close it out.
Appreciate you, Q. Thanks so much for the call.
You know, Q's point is a great one. Like, if I could ask for anything from Ben Simmons this offseason, it's funny how, like, people used to want a three-pointer, and now they're like, oh, I'll just take a mid-range game. Oh, I'll just take an improvement around the rim. Is the free throw shooting.
Yeah.
Because I think that affects his aggressiveness in-game. Because he has no confidence to get to the line. I mean, this might be the worst free throw performance we've ever seen in a playoff.
Yeah, Giannis's numbers last night, one of the times you went to the line, they threw it up on the screen or said it, I think 11 for 31 in the series.
From the line?
Yeah. So he's struggling mightily from there, too. But Q brought up a good point about
last night he was 4 of 7. I'll take that from Simmons every night.
Every night, absolutely. But Q's point about Ben Simmons' aggressiveness takes us right to the linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
Doc Rivers, I enjoy you. I think you're a great basketball mind. I've really enjoyed this journey, and I hope it keeps going. You got to stop enabling Ben Simmons. I'm going to play his words so I don't screw it up, so everybody can hear what he said yesterday.
Does he mention honor?
As I said on Atlanta Airwaves, Ben Simmons might not shoot, but at least he plays with honor.
Yes, you did say that.
Here's Doc Rivers yesterday talking to the media, and my jaw kind of hit the table when I heard this.
I couldn't disagree with that more. I actually think more aggressive if he's talking about facilitating, getting the ball up the floor with better pace, but not as far as shooting or anything like that. Just getting us into our stuff more aggressively with better pace. And that may end up him shooting the ball because of that. But we were just walking the ball up the floor, taking our time. And, you know, so maybe that's what he means. And then he's right about that for sure. But that's not how we play basketball.
60% of what he said is right. I did think there... pace of play was trash.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons is he's the two pistons of this engine. He makes this car go. He needs to play at a certain pace for the Sixers to be at their best. That part I agree with. Why do you have to throw in the shooting thing?
For Ben Simmons?
I hear you. I know. And look, I know all that matters is what happens behind those locker room doors and what is improved on, talked about, discussed, yada, yada, yada. I try not to read too much into press conferences, but this is now a common theme throughout the year. Ben Simmons himself said he needs to be more aggressive, and Doc comes out and says, well, not in terms of shooting. Dude, I need buckets from somebody at some point in the game. And I understand your points about facilitating and pushing the pace of play. But if it requires Ben Simmons to get to the freaking rim and get a bucket or get to the free throw line and face his fears, that's what it calls for. And Ben is a guy in this series, we saw it in the second quarter the other night, that has a size mismatch almost 100% of the time on the floor.
Sure.
So if that requires him posting a Herder up, a Trey Young up, a whoever up down low and taking advantage of a mismatch, then so be it. Like, you don't need to throw that shooting line in, Doc. A lot of what you said was true. Just stop enabling Ben Simmons.
It's interesting. Part of me is he reiterating to Ben, I don't want you to shoot.
Well, that's a problem. And look, I don't want Ben taking 18 to 20 footers because I don't think it's a high percentage play. But that doesn't mean he can't shoot around the rim.
Yeah, no, look.
His little baby hook that he was getting off, you know, when he was crashing the lane and Embiid was finding him off of double teams. Do that.
You know, there was a thing on Giannis last night where he got the ball around the top of the key, and I believe it was Blake Griffin, if not somebody else, covering him.
He's
and
been guarding him a lot, yeah.
They just faded into the lane.
Yeah.
So a couple times he shot threes, but on this instance, he didn't want to shoot a three. So instead of going from the foul line in and contesting someone who was defending him all the way back in the lane, he backed up and got a running start.
Yeah.
And just went at it and wound up scoring on a layup and getting fouled. I'm sorry. I don't think there's anybody that can really stop Ben Simmons standing in a lane and he gets a running start. I would go a 1-4 flat sometimes. When a team defensively decides to put somebody in the lane off of Ben Simmons, if I'm Ben Simmons or Doc Rivers, because contrary to many people's beliefs, coaches don't call all the plays in games.
No.
They allow their players to. I would call 1-4 flat. Get all four guys flat on the baseline, spread out, and let me go full head of steam at the basket. Watch somebody try to stop Ben Simmons here.
Well, then
the
only person that can curl around once he's penetrated, and you should have open shooters, worst case.
Open shooters, worst case. And I'm sorry, there's nobody in the league that can. The only person that can stop Ben Simmons on a dribble drive when he's going hard to the basket is Ben Simmons by missing a layup or going off a wrong foot or not going strong.
Sure, Giannis might have a shot, but, you know, there's very, very few guys in the league. I just heard those words, and I kind of, when I process them, I kind of did, like, the sour beer face of, like,
yeah, kind of makes everybody cringe. That's where we are.
You sound like a Ben enabler, Doc. Like, look, behind closed doors, you might be telling them to be more aggressive. And that's just what you're saying to the media. And Doc does get beat down with the questions about him shooting. These were Ben's own words.
Yeah.
He said he needed to be more aggressive. And on another note, I'm just sick of hearing a Ben say that.
Yeah, I know.
It's too frequent.
And Joel came out after one of the games and said, oh, I talked to him at halftime and said he needed to be more aggressive. I think that was game three.
And he came out and was more aggressive.
And he came out, yeah.
So if
sometimes the game's that easy for him.
Yeah, if the capability's there, why do you have to be told to do it?
I don't know. If I could score I'm not going to say he scores at will, but if I could score easily going to the basket and it helps my team, I think I'm doing it an awful lot without anybody telling me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 6'11" and as fast as Ben Simmons and you have a 6'6" Kevin Huerter on you, yeah, I would want you to take the ball to the rock. Like, imagine that mismatch on a playground. You're going, yo, dude, keep going.
Yeah, I mean, it's
he can't stop you. He can't hang with you. Go.
There's too much thought that goes into a Ben Simmons game for me. I mean, it's kind of simple what he can do and can't do. Do what you can and try a little bit more.
But do you think he's still coddled?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Doc Rivers came in here knowing full well that he was being called out on his shooting by, you know, as we saw, Brett Brown, a story that Joel Embiid also chimed in on. And I think it's one of Doc Rivers' things is to be at ease with Ben Simmons on his shooting. And, yeah, I hear you. All right, last night what came out was the All-NBA first and second teams, James.
And third teams.
And third
because
teams.
This is,
nobody cares about
that. No, I think there's some guys that have legit reasons to be pissed off.
All right, so your All-NBA first team, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You do the last name very well. I refuse to attempt.
Thank you.
A lot of vowels in there.
I'm glad I don't have to print it. Nikola Jokic, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, and Kawhi Leonard are your first team All-NBA guys.
I can't have a lot of disagreements there.
The only disagreement that everybody has is Joel Embiid comes in second place for MVP voting, yeah, and he's not a first team All-NBA.
So do you think the All-NBA should be positionless?
I think it should be your top five players.
I agree.
And then you can have something else that says best at position and break it down.
Sure.
Here's your voting by position.
I agree. I think pigeonholing yourself by position is kind
of
dumb.
Yeah, because, look, these guys make a ton of money, and that's not the point of it. But a lot of them have it written in their contracts about being first-team All-NBA.
Sure.
You know, Joel Embiid comes in second place in MVP voting and can't even make first-team All-NBA.
Yeah, like, that's kind of a joke.
Not that money means, you know, it's more of the stature
fine.
Of it all. Yeah,
he's eligible now for his Supermax. He'll be just fine.
Yeah, your second team is Dame Lillard.
Love him.
Chris Paul.
Hall of Famer.
Julius Randle.
He had a great season.
LeBron James.
I think Julius is way too high.
Okay.
He's most improved player. He's, you know, had a good regular season. Second team's too high.
Well, then he might not belong at all. And Joel Embiid from the 76ers is on your second team. Because here's your third team. Tell me who you would put on the second team above Julius Randle. Because you have to grab a forward here. So Kyrie Irving's on your third team and Bradley Beal. Those are your guards.
Beal was phenomenal this year.
Yes. Jimmy Butler or Paul George, do you put
Jimmy
above?
Butler, get the hell off. Get out.
Get out. There is Jimmy Butler love, man.
There is three guys who have legit cases to be ticked off. And unfortunately,
Paul George is your other forward.
Paul George,
Rudy Gobert at center.
Paul George is
out. All right, who's your main gripers here? Well, what's your main gripe of players that aren't on any of these teams?
So here's a stat for you. Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker missed out on all NBA teams despite both averaging 25-plus points per game on a team with a top-two record in the league. Before this season, only one player in NBA history averaged 25 points per game on a team with a top-two record without making an all-NBA team. Those two have legit cases. Jason Tatum has a legit case. Jason Tatum deserves it over both Jimmy Butler and Paul George.
Yeah.
And Paul George
and Julius Randle.
And Julius Randle.
Yeah, probably. You're right. So, Devin Booker would have to put over Kyrie Irving or Bradley Beal.
Kyrie.
Okay. And who else did you mention besides
Donovan Mitchell?
Donovan Mitchell.
I don't love his game as much as some people do. He's a good player. I'm not going to take anything away from him, but
I wonder if reputation comes into play there with the voting. And
he also averages like 31 shots a game.
Dude, yeah.
Like he's a high volume guy.
No Trae Young on either one of those, on any of those teams.
Interesting, huh? But Jimmy Butler, like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, I don't.
There was three guys more deserving.
You guys gave me a lot of heat when I said when he was here. I said, I'm not a Jimmy Butler. I don't think he's the winner that everybody plays him up
to. I enjoyed his time here, but I was totally okay with their decision to not invest in the long term.
Yes. Well, that All-NBA team was brought to you by Philly Sports Trips. Make sure you put your deposit down now at phillysportstrips.com to join us in Las Vegas in October for the ultimate Birds away game trip. That's phillysportstrips.com. That is going to be a great, great time. We can't wait. Hopefully a bunch of you have already signed up. I actually had a friend get in touch with me this weekend to say that they might be going. So we might have some fun. So my question to you guys is going to be this, and I really want to hear from you as I pose this question to Jamie and to Connor as we talk about the Sixers in Game 5 tonight. I'm wondering about Joel Embiid, and I'm wondering how you might handle him. Jamie brought up something that Reggie Miller put out on Twitter about resting maybe Kevin Durant and James Harden for Game 6. But how do you handle Joel Embiid going forward? 610-632-0975. This is the John Kincaid Show. Time at the Fanatic is 752.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, John Kincaid Show, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas, Coach Eric Camille. I'm sorry. As a friend of mine just texted me during the break, we now refer to Jamie as the Honorable Jamie Lynch because he is all about honor and glory. He is the newly titled King of Atlanta. As he was all the talk yesterday.
I was half of their afternoon program, yeah.
Because of his take that Trae Young does not play the game honorably. So Honorable James Lynch.
I'm no judge. I really enjoy that my stupidity was broadcast to all of Atlanta for them to hear me call them, one, weirdos, and two, for them to hear from my mouth that Trae Young plays with no honor. I enjoyed that. That put a smile. I told my wife yesterday, you know, we never talk about work because
nobody cares.
Yeah, she doesn't care. Yeah. I don't want to talk about work when I leave work.
Right.
But yesterday I was like, yeah, I'm being talked about in Atlanta pretty heavily today. And she was like, oh, yeah, why? And I was like, because I said Trae Young plays with no honor. And then I just started hysterically laughing and she was just like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you are.
But my point stands. I mean, the NBA realized his honorless play and is trying to change the rules to accommodate.
Do you think at any time Adam Silver yesterday was talking to the other higher-ups at the NBA
totally.
Or the day before when they saw Trae Young and others doing this throughout the league? Do you think the word honor ever came up?
It should have.
They're not honoring the game.
He's disrespecting the game of basketball with his honorless style of play.
Honorless.
Yeah, they probably played a clip from the show yesterday and they were like, damn, it's being talked about in Philadelphia. Everybody knows how little honor he plays with.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody from the NBA league office today gets in touch with me to get your number so that they can you know, get your exact thoughts on the dishonorable Trae Young.
Yeah,
I would say no.
I'll Hawks, baby.
So, were you called any names? And I know you listened to the whole thing. I didn't hear it all.
Yeah, I was sent some listeners down there, sent me the clips. I did listen to the two this morning. They talked about me for 6 minutes at one period. They called me, an idiot, small market radio. They referred to us as Topeka up here. And said that I took their bait. And I was like, yo, dude, you responded to my tweet. You took my bait, you idiot.
So you tweeted something out. They came back at you, and then they said you took their bait.
Yes.
That's like
I can't imagine
a fish telling a fisherman he took your bait.
Yes. If I saw a tweet from somebody in Atlanta that said Joel Embiid plays with no honor, I would chuckle and move on. Because it sounds ridiculous.
They're calling the Philadelphia market, the Philadelphia, basically, Topeka?
Yeah. They're the ones on an AM signal in a market that doesn't really care about sports as much as we do. So, I mean, you know, choose that for what you will. We're
First
up here.
Of all, he's a nobody.
We're up here with the best fans in the country. And there's three cities that sports radio really matters. And it's Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. So, if you want to call that small market, do whatever you want. You sound foolish.
That is words from the Honorable James Lynch Jr.
I may suck, but I'll play with honor.
Always a good point. Always a good point.
You're welcome.
All right, so here's the topic I want to bring up now. And you bringing up Reggie Miller's tweet earlier kind of leads directly into it. Joel Embiid the other night was awful in the second half. I mean, completely awful. And when he came out of the locker room after he went in from diving on the floor, I think it was, he had a look on his face of a little kid who just got his lunch money stolen. I'm not saying he didn't want to be there, because I know he wants to be there for his teammates. There's no question in my mind about that. But he looked like he was going into a battle without all of his ammunition. And that very well could be with the meniscus tear in his knee being what it is. So I ask you guys, and this is an honest question, if you want to chime in on it, 610-632-0975. How do you handle Joel Embiid from here on out? Now, Doc Rivers, I think he has that old school thinking that I think a lot of us agree with. He seems to be a fight through it kind of guy. You know, he even came out yesterday and said, look, once we take the floor, we take the floor. I can't worry about anything else. So he's a fight through it kind of guy. If Joel Embiid is struggling like he was the other night and he's not producing, and maybe your team's better off, I don't want to say without Joel Embiid because that hurts to say, but maybe they're better off not having a hobbled Joel Embiid out there. What's your best strategy moving forward, James? How do you handle just an overview of here's Joel Embiid with this injury that he has? How do you handle it overall?
I almost have two game plans. And the first is what we've normally done. Just go play your game. And I'll make the decision at, you know, what is it? Usually the 6 minute mark of the first quarter, he kind of comes out.
Yeah.
Maybe 5.5, 6 minute mark. I'll make the call. If it looks like Joel doesn't have it, we perhaps dial back a little bit on Joel and we ramp up the Tobias Harris game. So I almost have two game plans in mind. One is just normal, status quo. Go at it. Joe, you do what you normally do. I fully expect him to bounce back and answer the call. So I don't think you'd have to go to that backup plan. But the backup plan that I'd have on a short leash tonight is a Tobias Harris-centered offense.
Do you agree with the Doc Rivers play through it mentality?
Yes.
Yeah, the other
night. It's impossible not to, right?
Look, I know it's Joel Embiid. I know how great he is, MVP, runner-up, all of those things. And I am a fight-through-it kind of guy. I agree with Doc.
Are you talking particular to the fourth quarter the other night or
yes,
in general?
Second half. Would you have maybe pulled the trigger a little bit than Doc did?
I wouldn't have had him shoot 12 field goal attempts. I would have dialed that back to maybe 8. I thought 12 was a little too much. A lot of the looks he got were good, and shots, more often than not, he's going to bury. And then we're talking about what a great game Joel Embiid has. I just thought there was a couple opportunities maybe for Tobias to get involved, maybe to exploit a Simmons mismatch. Two field goal attempts from those guys in the fourth quarter is just not good enough. So, yeah, I probably would have gotten away from it a little bit, but I never would get away from it entirely.
You can't. You can't. I mean, Joel Embiid's in the game. He's got to be a part of your game. You can't get away from it.
Just because of the worst case scenario, he's going to draw a double team most likely.
Right.
And it's going to allow somebody else to be open. So you can't go away from it.
No, and I don't think Doc Rivers ever would go away from it. Like he said, we're on the floor. We are who we are, and we're going to play that way.
Sure.
I just wondered the other night. It didn't cross my mind so much the other night at all, as much as it did yesterday as I was rewatching that. Did you ever think of pulling him?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either, and I think it's something that we can't even think about. So
no.
I guess the answer
to that. But I would have given Dwight a little more run there because,
well, you would have pulled him.
No, I would have just extended Dwight's minutes. I wouldn't have pulled Joel. I just would have given Dwight an extra minute or two of run there because I thought Dwight was being pretty effective, both defensively and on the boards.
I thought so, too.
He got 3 offensive rebounds during that stretch early in the fourth quarter, which were huge. Second chance opportunities kind of determined that game there. So I would have just left Dwight in for a little longer, but no, I would have never pulled him.
Connor, I got a question for you.
What's up, Bobby?
Who was our 7 a.m. hour brought to us by?
Well, of course, it was brought to us by the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You can download that at parxcasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic.
How do you like that? Who's better than you? We have Adam Schefter joining us in a couple of minutes. I don't know. There's not a whole lot going on with the NFL right now. It's kind of one of those quiet times. So we are going to tap into NBA. Adam Schefter today.
Should I ask him about Trey Young's honorless style of play?
Absolutely, because I'm serious on this. Schefter has, and Schefter and I, we go back and forth about the NBA
a little bit.
He loves the NBA. He's a great, knowledgeable fan of the league. Look, we are Philadelphia here, and our agree or disagree with our takes.
View.
Exactly. If you agree or disagree with our takes while you're listening, understandable. We may agree or disagree with yours, but that's what we are. We're all Philadelphia. We are all in the same boat. Talk to somebody else in a different boat is pretty neat.
As dumb as we may be at times, we'll never be dumb enough to put up a poll questioning an athlete's hurt mentality and if they're hamming it up. So we will provide that sense of normalcy for you, Bob.
What does that even mean? Hamming up and hamming?
You know, do you think he's acting more hurt than he actually is?
Why?
It's brain-breakingly dumb. So I'm just saying we won't provide that low level of analysis.
But sometimes we can provide fodder for other stations around the country.
Yeah, lucky me.
To talk about the honorable Jamie Lynch. But
I just love that they're hung up on he plays with no honor. It's so stupid.
Did the honor thing come to you before the show, or did it just come out of your mouth yesterday? Because when you said it, I just started laughing.
No, I started saying it last week. It was because my Knicks buddy said it to me, because they went through the first round series.
So you aren't even the originator of the dishonorable play of Trey Young.
It was from my Knicks friend. So
you need to call this Atlanta station then and put them in touch with your friend, because he is the original dishonorable.
So I had one of my college buddies is a big Knicks fan. He told me at first. Then I had another buddy who's my cousin's Villanova friend, Knicks fan, also tell me how much they both hate watching Trey Young play in a series. And I called it before the series. He was going to be the guy we ended up hating. It's just, he's got that style of play. He's got, you know, he's a great player. You don't really hate mediocre players. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You always end up hating the great player because they're the ones that
do
the most
damage. Reaction. Exactly. Yeah. Someone we don't hate absolutely is our friend up in New York, Adam Schefter. Adam, how you doing today, buddy?
Jamie, Bob, what's going on today?
Not much. We're going to change things around since we don't have Mr. Kincaid with us. He's doing that vacation stuff. And Jamie, who is Mr. Schefter brought to us?
Well, Bob? Adam joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day, so let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. And he joins us courtesy of our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download America's top-rated sportsbook app.
So, Schefter,
let me just say this before we get in. I was invited to come to the game in Philly tonight.
What?
Ooh, are you?
And honestly, I would have loved to have come and wanted to come. I have a long-standing commitment that I committed to today to play golf with a few people, and I couldn't get out of it.
Are we talking nice course?
It's a fire, but I committed a long time ago, and then I got a call, and someone said, hey, you want to come join us for the Sixers game on Wednesday night, game 5. I'm like, I said, oh, God, I would love to have done that. It would have been great coming to Philly for the day, night, going to the game. And so I did take a rain check with the idea that they're going to win the series.
They will.
And so then at some point, hopefully I'll get to go to one of the Eastern Conference Finals games.
Well, Schefter, we do a pregame show down at the Wells Fargo Center. So if you are coming to a game, make sure you text me and we can get together before the game and maybe share some ideas. But I'll throw a loaded question out to you right now because I think we're going to tap into NBA, Schefter, mostly today.
Yeah,
is there anything major going on in the NFL that we need to know about here in Philadelphia?
No, I don't think so right now. Well, you know, I told you that I had that dream that they traded for Julio Jones the week that Julio was traded. And they were fishing around there, as they should have been, right? Just checking it out to see if there's anything that could be done. I think, look, the NFL world, we are about to enter into what should be, you never know, the quietest period. Everybody's waiting to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's waiting to see what happens with Deshaun Watson. But outside of that, there's nothing obvious to me. Zach Ertz, that's a down-the-line issue. It's a tough situation because he would like a new contract. He would like to be out. Nobody's going to be willing to take on that contract. you know, not with the way he played last year. And if he can get back to his form, then the Eagles have an asset. It's just a complicated situation. But, again, we're in the quietest time of the NFL year. And barring something changing, it should be relatively quiet for the next few weeks. Should be.
Well, Adam, there's actually one. There's a huge pressing Eagles question we have to get to. There was a big signing this week. Quarterback Nick Mullins is brought into town. Do you think, Nick, if I asked you, Adam Schefter, right now, Nick Mullins or Joe Flacco, who's better? What would you say?
Well, they're different kind of guys. First of all, it's a situation where Nick Mullins is coming off serious surgery to his elbow. And obviously he is going to be okay, otherwise Philadelphia wouldn't have signed him. And he is a coach in the making. He's brilliant, so smart. And I almost think that, look, it's
like a Josh McCown type signing?
Well, yeah, and there's not a lot of risk in either one. So you bring them both in, and you see who looks better, who fits better, who's the better fit for to complement what you're trying to do, and then you make a decision. I think maybe they want to see how Nick Mullins bounces back from the elbow surgery. They want to be around him. Joe Flacco, we know, is a veteran. Does he still have the hunger that he wants to go out there and put himself through this? Apparently he does. So I think it's almost like may the best man win. It would be hard for me to imagine they're keeping both those guys, carrying three quarterbacks, but quarterbacks are valuable, so you never know.
Schefter, I want you to take off your reporter's hat and your good guy down the middle, professional that you are, and ask you this question. I want you to respond as a fan. Do you have trouble watching Trae Young play basketball?
You know, I remember hearing a couple of years ago that not all his teammates loved playing with him. You know, just kind of chatter that you hear in NBA circles. And when you watch, it's different. It's not pure and traditional. I don't have a hard time because I think everybody has a different skill set, though I do think it's an acquired taste. I do think there's an acclimation period. When they traded that pick for they traded Luka and a one, or they traded Luka to get back Trey and a one. I told you, I called somebody I know in the organization. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I never understood that from the get go, from the jump. I always thought, and it's easy for me to say it now, but there was a fascination I had with Luka coming out, and I just thought that's the guy that I'd want on my I was really hoping the Knicks got him, and of course, that was the year. I think they didn't do well in the lottery, and they got Kevin Knox, I believe it was, of course. And so, would I rather have Luka? Of course, yeah, still. But I think Trey. I mean, he's a young superstar in this league. There's no doubt about that. It's just it is different. It is different. What is the league-wide perception from your vantage point?
Well, Schefter, I was public enemy number one down in Atlantic Sports Radio yesterday because I said that Trae Young plays with no honor. And when I say that, it's mostly in jest. But when you see him, and look, Woj, your buddy, tweeted it out yesterday. The NBA is reviewing this. The unnatural shooting motions that him and James Harden, occasionally Chris Paul and some other players pull off, I think is offensive to the game. And it's gotten so bad that the league is going to intervene and basically make it, going forward, an offensive foul. I hate that he's too good of a player to me to do that crap, and I really find it tough to watch.
You're talking about like jumping into the guy, leaning in,
yep,
drawing the foul, that kind of thing?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't love that. I don't like that maneuver either. If they want to eliminate that maneuver, that's fine by me. The places that he shoots from are incredible, but his range is unbelievable. So when he plays with honor tonight and goes for like 41, it's going to be your fault?
Yes, entirely. I'll be public enemy. I'm deleting my Twitter. I'm deactivating. I'm getting offline.
You go from public enemy number one in Atlanta to public enemy number one in Philadelphia. Yeah. Because you lit the fire under Trae Young to get him going tonight. That's what's going to happen, right?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
This really is a big game. a big game for them, right?
82% of teams that win this game five when tied 2-2 go on to advance. So, yeah, it's pretty huge.
I mean, last night, you know, game five, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, KD put on a performance for the ages. That was unbelievable. Carried the team to victory by himself, basically. And now tonight, it's up to these guys. I find this funny. The Sixers keep listing Joel Embiid questionable every game.
They're going to do that throughout the playoffs.
I'm thinking myself, is there anybody who thinks he's not playing tonight? Anybody?
Not in this area, Shefty. Yeah. That's for sure.
I mean, he did go down towards the end of the game last game, right? Like it looked like he got a little banged up there, but there wasn't anything new added on, correct?
No, going down is something that Joel Embiid does quite often during a basketball team. Yeah, he hits the floor more than anyone I've ever seen.
You know, it's funny because this morning one of my buddies sent me his DraftKings lineup. He said, "I'm just waiting on Embiid's status." I said, "Allow me to tell you right now, he's playing." like waiting on a status. What status?
Yeah, I think your prediction there is pretty good. Shefty, I'm going to let you go on this one. I need your prediction on who's going to be playing for the Eastern Conference Finals next week.
Oof. Well, I'm going to go Philly, and I guess I'm going to go Brooklyn now because I think Milwaukee will win the next game, and they'll come home to Brooklyn. I don't think Brooklyn's going to lose two in a row with Harden back. And I know he wasn't Harden last night, but I have to think that he's going to have a little bit of an acclimation period here. He'll get back to being James Harden. And if and when he does that they're not going to beat them. And Charles Barkley was pretty funny at halftime last night. He kind of contradicted himself. He goes, "I think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the NBA championship, but they are the dumbest team out there." well, how can you be the dumbest team out there and expect to win in this round, and then in the next round, and then in the finals? Like, you can't be a dumb team and do that no matter how good you are, because there just are too many good basketball teams. Philly, Brooklyn, I mean, it's not going to happen. And sure enough, they blew what was a 17-point lead last night, and Brooklyn came back behind KD and won. Now, whether that was because Milwaukee was dumb, as Charles is saying, or Brooklyn just had sheer determination and force to overcome that deficit, maybe it was a little bit of both. But you can't play that dumb and expect to prevail round after round against good teams. You just can't do that.
Well, Shefty, hopefully next week we'll be talking to you about Eastern Conference Final with these 76ers involved. Appreciate you joining us, talking some hoops today, and we will talk to you again next week.
76ers Brooklyn would be kind of cool, because then it'd be easy for me to go to one of the games. It would be, you know, like an hour commute, roughly.
So, hey, hit them straight today, Shefty.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for
watching.
I'll miss you tonight, but I'll be watching.
You got it.
Take care.
And Shefty is brought to us, as always, by our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download America's top-rated sportsbook app. If Adam was to go to the game in Brooklyn, he would be, I think, the 11th Brooklyn Nets fan.
Did you hear that stadium last night?
It was quiet early.
They were pumping in noise.
Yeah, it seemed like it. All right, 610-632-0975. We're talking a lot of Sixers, obviously, going into tonight. And I also want to remind you, Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers, visit PAWorkInjury.com. Coming up, we're going to talk some more Sixers stuff. And Jamie wants to talk about one of the Sixers players that maybe was a little overshadowed the other night. Time at the Fanatic, 822. And I got Buffalo Wild Wings because I want to tell you about Buffalo Wild Wings, Connor. You just don't know how good it is there. We are back to normalcy. We're having fun again. We can go out in groups, James. We can go out and get beers. You can get $3 Tall House beer. Wild Hirsch Kolsch by Goose Island. That's right. You can
love
get
a Kolsch.
That. Oh, my God. It's so much fun at Buffalo Wild Wings. You know how much fun it is, James? I'm going this weekend. That's right. We've already made plans. So if you're looking to fill that sports bar-shaped hole in your heart, it's time to get back in the game at B-Dubs. You know what they have. Great burgers, great wings. There's so much fun to be had at Buffalo Wild Wings. All the sports you can possibly want. It's all there for you. Go check it out. Buffalo Wild Wings at participating locations. Delivery subject to availability. Fees may apply. Alcohol is available for dine-in only. Taxes extra. Please drink responsibly.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. John Kincaid Show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas in for Pat Egan today. And of course, Coach Camille. Now, Jamie just gave me a tutorial, Connor, about what front row fans should do in games, because
you're giving
the honorable Matt Cord
agrees.
Came down and did agree with Jamie. I love when Matt comes in to visit us.
He's the best.
He came down and told Jamie that he agrees with his stating that people in the front row should not stand up during a game.
No. Right.
So I said, why can't they stand up and cheer? And Jamie's sitting in his seat and he goes, well, they can do this. Yeah! And he stands up and throws a pump fist, but then they have to sit back down. I'm like, oh my God.
Is there a timer? Right, do you want someone there with a stopwatch?
Let me paint a fair picture of this conversation.
I said, if it's the final minute of a close game and the whole stadium's standing, obviously stand up and enjoy yourselves. If it's midway through the first quarter with 8 minutes to go and you have an entire corner of the court standing up, you're a weirdo. Sit down. You have the best seat in the house. There's nobody in front of you except NBA players. Sit down. All right, stop giving Atlanta Sports Radio.
You move to the burbs and you get a lawn, and now you're that get off my grass guy.
I didn't jump out at you watching
Seriously?
The game the other night.
I saw it. It didn't bother me.
The first and second quarter, they're all standing up courtside. That's weird as hell.
They're into the game.
That's stupid.
It's not stupid. You're watching a game and you're into it.
Matt Cord agrees with me. He works courtside every game.
He's sitting down.
Yes, because he's courtside. There's no need to stand.
No, because he has a microphone in front of his face, and it's his job to say something.
Well, Matt's a genius, and he agrees with me. So you're wrong.
Your takes are very out there this week. agree or disagree, whatever, but this one is ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I disagree with you because you're wrong. Atlanta fans are weirdos.
All right, I'll tell you what. Probably the most even-keel guy out of the four of us here today is Coach Camille.
Wow, what an honor. That's the nicest thing you've ever said about him.
Yeah, we're using that word honor way too much. What do you, where do you stand on this, Coach Camille?
Well, I gotta say,
Peloton. Or sit on this?
No, I gotta say, Peloton, I agree with Jamie.
Yeah, it's weird.
When I saw the Atlanta fans in the first quarter with 5 seconds off the clock standing, it reminded me of a goofy college crowd that was standing waiting for the first bucket of the home team to fall in.
That's a good analogy, because
that's
SEC country.
Yeah, it's not pro sports. Sit down.
Yeah. The Georgia Bulldogs football team is probably the second most discussed thing in that city, if not first. So stop acting like it's Cameron Indoor and sit down.
Enjoy your fine leather seats on your rear end. It's probably got your billfold in there that is, you know.
Pay good money for those seats. Enjoy it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Now you're sounding really sensible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coach, you're speaking wisdom.
Yeah. Connor, what you got on this?
Peloton.
They paid for those seats. Or they made enough money that someone gave them those seats. You can stand up.
Yeah, you can do whatever
the
you
legs.
Want. What about those
Come
poor
on.
People in the second, third, and fourth rows, Connor?
They can also stand up. That's why, I don't know if you've noticed, stadiums, they slope upwards away from the court.
I'm thinking about the little
these
man
things here.
Called
bleachers.
Those poor people
Egan's not
in the second and third rows.
I can't ask Egan about this. I think I know where he stands.
Well, imagine if Egan was sitting in the second row. He's got somebody standing up in front of him.
Oh,
all he's seeing is sneakers on the court.
You're an idiot. ExpressPros.com. Don't wait to get a new job. Express Employment Professionals is hiring for more than 35,000 jobs. Find your local Express office at ExpressPros.com or on the Express Jobs app. Jamie, you feel as if someone needs to be pretty good tonight, and because of this thought, it is a linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
I think Seth Curry is having quietly almost the second best playoff of any Sixer. I might, because of what his expectations were, have him above Tobias Harris. I think he's been consistent. He's been money. And with Danny Green's struggles, if Seth had struggled on top of it from deep, they might not even be in as good a situation as they are right now with home court in a three-game series. I think Seth Curry has been phenomenal. But I ask you, who do they need to be phenomenal tonight? And Joel Embiid, I think, is off the board because we kind of had a similar conversation earlier. Joel Embiid, you expect it from. It's kind of a given at this point.
Yeah, I'll take him off the board. I agree.
That he is the most important thing to this team. Duh. Seth Curry, I think, has been phenomenal. But if he isn't able to keep it up tonight, let's say he has an off night, who's that guy to you that needs to be the man?
Well, I'll go with another obvious, and I'll go Ben Simmons, only because I think the how he goes, so go so many others. Okay, if he's aggressive with his dribble drive penetrations and scoring that way, now a defense has to react to that. When a defense reacts to that, it leaves more openings for Seth Curry. It leaves more dribble drive openings for Tobias Harris. It gets Joel Embiid involved even more.
So you mean it in the Doc Rivers way of, I don't need him necessarily scoring, I need him being more aggressive in driving the style of game.
Yeah, and I think when he is more aggressive, the scoring comes also. I do. I think when he's more aggressive driving to a basket, and even if his first thought is kick out or dump off, I think at times when they're not there, he's forced to go in and score. I think Ben Simmons tonight needs to get you like a 16, 18 point game and the other stuff to follow. He needs to account for about, I'd say, between 30 and 40 points tonight.
It shouldn't be difficult.
I don't think so.
Connor, who would you say is the most important guy with Embiid off the board tonight, game five, back at home? Who you got?
I mean, you got to go with one of the big three. Bobby already took Ben. I'll go Tobias because, man, you can't have a guy who's been a closer for you. And I get Embiid's your best player, and he's kind of been the closer this year because he's just been dominant start to finish. But when you have a guy who's been your closer in the past, scores 0 points in the fourth quarter of game four, you need that guy to answer. And I don't care if he has a rough first half and he has to figure some stuff out because he didn't seem like himself down the stretch. Tobias needs to wake up, and when you need the clutch shots, you need him back in the game. You didn't get that from him in game four. You didn't get that from anybody in game four. But I need to see Tobias have one of those 25, 30-point games.
I think I'm going to be betting Tobias is over tonight.
Is Tobias the guy you need?
I think Seth has been playing so well, he's playing over his head, and I can't count on that. It's a great bonus when you get it, but I can't look to Seth Curry to be a 20 to 22 a night guy. That's where Tobias has to fill that role.
Yeah, and you know what I love about Seth Curry? It's coming naturally, it seems.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if they call many plays for Seth Curry, Danny Green. I think it's more of a fluid,
sure,
get where you're supposed to be. But what I like about Seth Curry, what he's able to do is, unlike Danny Green, to a sense, he's not just that three-point shooter. He's good he's good at a pump fake,
yeah,
1-2 dribble, pull up.
He's
mid-range.
A better dribbler than Danny Green, for sure.
He can get to the basket, and a lot of it is because of the threat of his three-point shooting. But I love what Seth Curry has done.
I think he's quietly having one of the best playoffs of any Sixer.
Yeah, and I wish to God Danny Green was alongside of that,
yeah,
because I think he would benefit from it also.
Sure, and you knew Danny was bound to get hot at some point here. Do you think Seth Curry can keep it up?
I do. I think it's... Look, I think he's that secondary piece that a defense doesn't really look to stop.
Exactly.
The way this team is built. You have to stop Joel Embiid with two guys, maybe even three sometimes.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris, you can't let get one-on-one. Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons. Seth Curry's an afterthought. All right, you're on Curry, and there it is.
Yeah.
My big thing about tonight also is I need to see Trae Young work on defense. I need to see him get hit with some picks. I need to see him moving defensively in that he's running around chasing somebody. And whoever that fifth starter is for the Sixers tonight, it might be him.
Do you think they mix it up tonight?
I doubt it. Look, if there's a word, if there's an adjective that sticks to Doc Rivers, it's stubborn. From fans that have known him longer than us and have seen him, mm-hmm, you know, in L.A. and in Boston. So if the stubbornness is truly a word that sticks to, why would he change out Tobias Harris if he believes that was the guy he should have put in? But that being said, what I said about Trae Young. I'd like to see him running around a little bit. I don't know. Do you put in a Tyrese Maxey, a guy that's just full of energy and speed? Or
I just think you make the offense not, you know, be concreted to the floor off ball. I think it's simple. You just have your regular people get some more movement going. Run Trae Young into some. Whoever has Trae Young should be moving almost nonstop.
Yes.
Run him through picks.
I agree.
Run him on the baseline. Run him. Just constantly move. Have a whirlpool offense where everything's kind of swirling and make him work.
Yeah, I don't think you change your offense just to do something to him defensively, but I think you call specific things at times. Look, you have schemes. This is our scheme. We're going to run this set and whatever it may be. But on a specific play, yes, I would definitely go after him.
Yeah.
I would do it 100%
of the time. So you expect Furkan to start again tonight?
I would be more surprised than not if he didn't start.
Yeah.
Wait.
More surprised than not.
I just put my head in the
puzzle.
I think he'll start more than I don't think he'll start. That's what I meant to say.
Let's not make this real confusion.
And by the way, on the Seth Curry note, what a phenomenal trade. He's here for two more years.
I love it.
At a very controllable number.
And Steph came out yesterday and said how much he enjoys watching the Sixers play.
Come on over, Steph.
Yeah, yeah. Water's warm.
Yeah. Ben Simmons for Steph Curry. Would you? 6-1-0.
I love the way Seth Curry's playing. I always liked his game. I'm not going to say we got the wrong brother.
No.
But if you want to have a brother tandem.
I mean, Steph, I would imagine a guy with MVPs and, you know, NBA Finals trophies, you know, the checklist is pretty much checked. I would imagine playing with your brother one day would be a pretty cool one, wouldn't it?
And, you know, the father-in-law thing and all that stuff. Yeah, it's a family affair.
And then we can get Mrs. Curry in the stands.
I like Mrs. Curry. I told you, we shared a breakfast table one time.
Oh, what did you have?
Wait, what's
Omelet Station?
Dell's
wife, I'm talking.
Yes, Dell's wife.
Yeah.
We were in a... It was in a hotel. It was like a buffet. It was a buffet type thing.
It
was an all-star weekend.
The wedding that we went to last weekend, they had a free continental breakfast. It was the most insulting thing I've ever seen in my life.
We encountered the same exact thing when we went to South Carolina recently.
Oh, my God.
I think it's a COVID thing where they don't really put anything out. It was horrible.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It was offensive. It was as offensive as Trae Young's style of play.
Oh, my God. Connor, you have some breaking news?
Yeah, speaking of COVID things.
You got to hit the breaking news.
That's not Sixers related. I don't want to get everyone like freaked out.
Oh, I see the notifications here. Woj and Shams.
Chris Paul entering COVID protocol out indefinitely.
Oh, wow.
That's a huge blow to the Suns.
That they're very lucky they swept already and they have the benefit of time on their side because
they better hope that other series goes long.
It's 2-2 now, so they better hope it goes 7. Wow. Chris Paul. COVID. That sucks.
It does. I hate hearing about that. That's not good.
It says Paul's status for the start of the Western Conference Finals is currently up in the air. And I'm assuming that means even if it goes 7 games.
It doesn't sound just protocol like he came in contact. It sounds like he's got something.
Yeah, noteworthy. Depending on the medical circumstance, an isolation period could be shorter for a vaccinated individual. So I guess we'll find out if Chris Paul was vaccinated or not.
Yeah. Vernon in Philly wants to talk about who needs to step up. Hey, Vern.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Listen, besides the obvious of guys we want to talk about, you know what I mean, about, you know, who's going to need to step up and everything like that, I need to see something from George Hill. We signed this guy, and, like, he's been completely, like, everybody talking about everybody else, but, like, no one's bringing up George Hill, and he's not giving us really anything.
I got to tell you, Vern, I have been shocked that you haven't gotten more out of him. But then if you read into it just a little bit more, he had a pretty significant injury when he came over here that he was recovering from. Maybe he just hasn't gotten over that yet, the thumb injury.
Listen, I hear you on that. But here's the thing on that. If we didn't evaluate all that ahead of time, then that's just an excuse. And right now, I don't need to hear nothing about what, you know what I mean, what he came over with and whatever, you know what I'm saying? Because then that falls on the management and the coaching staff that they didn't do a good job of assessing someone that they would, that they figured that they can count on at this point in time.
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you raise a fair point. I mean, it reminds me of Andrew Bynum all over again. You know, where the medical's not.
Wow.
That's
comparing the process to a dishonorable game.
But, like, I would think something's up with George Hill. Whether he doesn't know his role here, whether he's still carrying the thumb injury over, whatever it is, he looks passive and lost in this offense.
I don't think it has to do with anything on the court. So think about this. You have a veteran player and a veteran coach.
Yeah.
He knows what to expect out of him. He knows what the coach wants.
That's the assumption, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything schematically or doesn't know his role or anything like that. I'm convinced it's an injury.
But why is he looking so passive?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have confidence in the shot. It was a tendon injury in his thumb that he had surgery on. He did recovery after he got here to the Sixers and then started to play. Maybe he's just not feeling it, and maybe it doesn't feel right. Maybe he's a little afraid to shoot because it just doesn't feel right. I don't know.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. I certainly expected a lot more from him. And it would be nice if we could get it, because I still believe he's a good ball player.
Yeah, I thought for sure you would have gotten a lot more out of him. And look, I called for it the other day that I wanted him in the starting lineup simply because I thought veteran, really good outside shooter, kind of gives you the same things that Danny Green does or could imitate a Danny Green type game. So the offense, the starting five could be used to that. And he still only got 13 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of telling, isn't it? I would still consider him because you need a shooter in that starting unit just to make Joel's life easier. And that's why I wouldn't start Thibault or Maxey. Shake, not really, but maybe more so than those other two. When it comes to the next series, though, that could change depending on the health of, a Milwaukee or a Brooklyn. You might need Thibault defense more.
See, I go back and forth with this. I'd rather starting
problem,
five.
Yeah.
I've stated that. That's true also. But I think I want a starting five to get used to each other. And maybe I'm overstating it. I don't know. But I would kind of like to get something set is my pro to whoever you start stick with. My con is if you don't and you go team to team or situation by situation, then another team trying to plan for you, it makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I'm saying. All right, Jamie, who would you start tonight, though?
I'd probably ride Furkan again one more time to see if they double and triple Embiid like they've done in this series. That means shooters are going to be open. And the combination of Curry and Furk on the court together, at least that gives you that threat, their home, their court, their rims, all that. I see. And if the three balls are dropping early, this one could be over early. So for that reason, I ride with them until that doesn't mean I finish the game with them.
Sure.
I don't want to see a two-man offense between Furkan and Joel Embiid decide the game again. But I'd start with them and see if they're both on. The Sixers aren't losing.
It was funny on that final play the other night that the Sixers ran when they were down three. Korkmaz almost looked like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, nobody else is getting the ball but me here.
He almost cut Curry off on his play.
He brought his defender over to Curry.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't have a timeout. Did you have a timeout before that? I forget. I fast forward.
Timeouts were limited.
So the Sixers were out, but I don't know if Atlanta called.
Wouldn't you have Furk on the opposite wing of Curry?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Like, Korkmaz looked like he was going to cut through the lane. Then he stopped and then ran up towards the ball.
Curled back out right through Curry.
And brought his man right at
and
Curry.
And that allowed Curry's difficulty of shot because he had one guy behind him and one guy in front of him.
Yeah, it wasn't the best of plays.
Is he a smart basketball player?
I don't know.
He's still young. He's only 23.
Yeah, and he dribbled the ball up.
But he's been a pro for like a decade.
Yeah, and if you turn pro when you're 12 over in Europe, they consider you a pro or something.
No, I think
like
you turn
that,
pro at 16, so yeah. 7 years?
Yeah, he's still, there's times where I yell out loud, give the ball up, give the ball up, give the ball up. And when he's dribbling the ball at the floor, he dribbled it off his knee in a key moment the other night, went out of bounds.
That drove me nuts.
Yeah, they worked on him when he got over here, on his ball handling, his ball skills, so he feels more confident in that. But
it's like he almost
does smartness, I really can't speak to it to tell you the truth.
Yeah, it's almost like he doesn't recognize his weaknesses. He just tries to play through it. Like when he's, trying to shake and bake somebody at the top of the key into a a three-pointer. Like, dude, that's not your strong suit. Just wait in this offense till you're open. You'll get your looks and then just hit them.
Yeah. Spring Garden Lending, real estate developers. Bob Marino's at Spring Garden Lending, specializing in bridge and permanent loans to acquire, rehab, construct, and refinance investment properties. Spring Garden Lending, faster than a bank, less expensive than hard money lenders. 610-632-0975. If you want to chime in about what you think about tonight, Game 5, it's a big one. It'll be on right here, 97.5, the Fanatic at 7:30. Before then, we will have Beers with Bob down at the Wells Fargo Center. That's right, 6 to 7. Actually, we're going to be there a little bit earlier. I think we're going to be down there around 5:30 and maybe climb on air with Mike during his show for a little bit.
Very
so come
cool.
Join me, Devon Givens, Andrew Salchunas. We'll be down right behind Section 106 on the main concourse. Come down, say hi. We'll let you know what we think is going to go on with the Sixers tonight. When we get back here on the John Kincaid Show, Jamie, I want to revisit something Doc Rivers said about his team, because he said something about him, and I think he might play a role in it. 97.5, the Fanatic, John Kincaid Show. Time is 8:52.
Hey, it's me, Jamie Lynch. And if you're in the market for a new car, like I recently was, make sure you stop by and see the family at North Penn. North Penn Mazda, well, guess what? They just unveiled a beautiful new state-of-the-art, construction wrapped up a couple weeks ago, brand new showroom. The thing is gorgeous. You can't miss it. If you just take Bethlehem Pike Route 309 to the end, you'll see it. It jumps out in neon. I think you can see this thing from space. It's spectacular. It's very inviting, spacious, and it's a comfortable place to shop for your next car. So don't miss the Season of Discovery event going on now at North Penn Mazda. North Penn Mazda in Colmar is ready to help you discover your next vehicle. These Mazdas sell themselves. Have you seen them out on the road? They're gorgeous. No matter what your vehicle need is, you'll find it at the completely new, state-of-the-art North Penn Mazda showroom. This beautiful new showroom is where you'll find a fast, convenient car buying experience. And it's just minutes from the PA Turnpike and Blue Route in Colmar. You'll be glad you checked it out. Don't miss the Season of Discovery event going on now at North Penn Mazda. Trust me, it's the right experience, the right choice. Visit them anytime at northpennmazda.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This doesn't get you going, Jamie. I don't know what will. John Kincaid Show here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor
Thomas. No idea.
Me neither, but it sounds cool.
You guys don't know this song?
Coach Eric Camille.
Is this country?
Yeah, it's Kenny Chesney and Uncle Cracker.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. No.
When the sun goes down. We'll be grooving.
You didn't even have to look.
You and I like when the sun comes up. We saw a great sunrise today, Connor.
We did. It was a good one.
Yeah. Mopar's asking me who I like for the U.S. Open. Mopar, how do you like this, Coach? I'm addressing your people. Our people. Mopar, I cannot tell you because I run the U.S. Open pool here at 97.5 The Fanatic. And if I were to give that away, it would give an advantage to the other people that are also in my... No, not well.
I can give Mopar a little advice. I don't run the pool.
And you've already handed in your picks.
Yes.
And I haven't looked at them because I have to show you my picks before...
I'm not giving you my personal opinion. John Rahm, before he left the last tournament, he had like a 12-stroke lead or something. He was playing phenomenal golf. The best cumulative scores to par Farmers Insurance Open, which was the last big tournament played at Torrey Pines, since 2017. John Rahm is a minus 51. Tony Finau, minus 46.
Finau's a name that intrigues me.
Patrick Reed, minus 38. And Mark Leishman, minus 37. So Rahm's, you know, one of the top two favorites. There's not incredible value there, but he's playing phenomenal golf. So, you know, maybe you sprinkle a little bit on him to hedge yourself. and then go elsewhere. You know, for your longer odds plays.
I love when the U.S. Open or any of the PGA U.S. Open are played on the West Coast, and we get like the 10 o'clock finish.
And don't forget Phil Mickelson. Not that he's going to go back to back, but this is the course he basically grew up playing.
Yeah, it is. Mopar, we appreciate you checking us out on YouTube, and all you people that are on YouTube, we appreciate you. Good or bad, whatever. That's what we're here for. Make some discussion chime in if you'd like. 610-632-0975. If you have a strong opinion about sports or about us, we're here to listen. That's what we do.
My buddy Lee on Twitter says it's a violation for me not to know that song. That was that big of a song?
Yeah, that's an incredibly popular song.
Huh. Country and me and water.
I went to a Zac Brown concert one time. That's country, right?
Yeah, Zac Brown band.
Yeah.
Great.
It was cool.
I went to one. I forget the guy's name now all of a sudden.
Oh.
Yeah. It was all right.
I like country music. I like any music that sounds good.
I like country, like rock, but like she thinks my tractor's sexy, like that crap. I'm out.
What do you mean that crap?
Yeah, Kenny Chesney and Uncle Cracker's not the country that you're thinking of. That was a top 40 hit, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 15 years ago or so. But Uncle Cracker is not country.
I'm out on Uncle Cracker.
Yeah, it was a good song.
What did Uncle Cracker ever do to you?
I'm out.
Why?
It's a stupid name.
Honorable Jamie Lynch isn't the greatest name either, but, you know, we're not all out on you. All right, so
a lot of people probably are.
I wanted to revisit something that Doc Rivers said, and I don't even know if we have this, Connor, do we? Okay. I wanted to revisit something that Doc Rivers said about his team following the loss on Monday night. And that was that his team got effing outworked. And I don't disagree with anything that Doc Rivers had to say. Not at all. They got outworked. They got outplayed. They gave up a big first half lead in the second half and wound up making this more of a series, quite frankly, than I think it should be. Now your team is forced to get back on a plane to go to Atlanta again on Friday. All of it is horrible. But to Doc Rivers, and I pose this more of a question to you guys than I do a statement from me. Did Doc Rivers have a hand in his team getting outworked? Should he maybe have gone away from an obviously hobbled Joel Embiid a little bit more? Should he have noticed that Tobias Harris, I'm not saying this in a way that he quit on his team or anything, but was checked out offensively? And he was. I told you, I watched last night. He dribble drove to his sweet spot three times, and I think he could have gone out and shoot. And three times, he passed out to Matisse Thybulle standing at a three-point line. Did Doc Rivers play a role in his team getting outworked the other night, Jim? Too tough to pinpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of tough to put on him there, but I did think, you know, maybe a timeout and, hey, let's run a couple plays for Tobias or get Ben in motion a little bit. There was too much standstill. They all stood still and watched Joel Embiid try to play hero ball. And normally Joel Embiid can answer that. But it was clear that night he couldn't. So why he didn't intervene, and to your point earlier, the coaches aren't calling every single play.
No.
So I put part of the blame on Joel, I put part of the blame on Tobias, and I put, you know, a big chunk on Doc's plate too, because that required some intervening the other night. I didn't feel comfortable with the 12 field goal attempts in the second half if you're not going to make any.
Yeah.
Like, dial that back to 8 or 9 and maybe have a Robin step up and you know, answer the call.
Yeah, it goes to me, you know, there's always been a saying in sports that you can't teach your team to be tougher. I think you can teach to play tougher, and tougher means to me taking charges,
sure,
running guys, how to set a proper pick. That's a tough play. If I'm playing basketball, which I did a lot, but if I'm playing and Jamie, I have to set a pick on you at 6'4" and probably about 60 pounds heavier than me. Sorry, it's part of my game, and I got to do it. One of the best pick setters ever in the NBA, I've been told, was John Stockton.
Really?
Yeah. Jimmy Lineham and I had a long talk about that one time, and others have told me that, he was considered the best pick set, one of the best pick setters in the NBA.
He's a guy that relied on fundamentals, right?
So, well, that's, yeah.
So, I mean, a pick, there's nothing more fundamental than setting a proper pick.
You can be fundamentally tough, and it lends to a tough game. And that's why I asked the question. I think it's hard. Like, I can't get a guy that's a finesse player, probably, to all of a sudden be a guy that's going to be this tough guy.
But I think the lack of offense, what was it, 9 points in the final 6 minutes, that might have zapped some of the toughness and maybe energy from the team. Like, they were looking for an answer so much that they, I don't know, got lost in the clouds, got lost in the crankiness of not having an efficient offense at the time.
Yeah.
So maybe that did affect their toughness and kind of overall energy. It felt like a lifeless fourth quarter, didn't it?
It so much so.
Like, they just kind of stood around and were hoping Joel Embiid was going to shoot his way out of it.
And
there was no, you know, once Dwight Howard left, there was no presence on the offensive glass. Whereas on the other end, John Collins and I think Capella got a couple, you know, two or three big offensive boards that extended more Hawks plays. So, like, when we're talking about rebounding in the final stages, that's kind of an effort thing. I mean, a lot of it's right place, right time, but a lot of it's effort, too.
You the 5 minute mark that I talked about earlier, and I'll just rehash it real quick, shows you how bad this Sixers offense was late in the game. And it was after 5 holds, 5 defensive holds by the Sixers when they were up 4 points. They went Tobias Harris, dribble drive, looked like he was fine against Herter, pass out to Matisse Thybulle, miss. Harris got a shot blocked. Milton missed a runner in the lane. Shake Milton walked. Embiid airball. Harris dribble off his knee. Ball goes out of bounds. Tobias Harris missed a 10-footer. They gave up a fast break at the other end. Offensive foul, Joel Embiid. Listen to all the things that they did poorly there. I mean, that's horrible. And the airball by Joel Embiid, it was kind of like, well, shot clock's kind of running out. Let me fade away. It was a fadeaway 15-footer that hit nothing. But yeah, their offense was, it was
stagnant.
So stagnant. No motion, no feel, no continuity to it at all.
So yesterday, I take it they probably have a light day on the practice court, especially, you know, Joel probably doesn't even hit the practice court. Are they just in the building getting a light workout in and going over film? Is film the majority of what they did yesterday? Or how does that play out?
Film, they'll hit some weights. If you want to get on the floor, get taped and go with an assistant coach, get some shots up if you show so like. There might be something that Doc wants to say, hey, just real quick, let's walk through this. But no, nothing.
Do you think that motion in the fourth quarter was a major talking point yesterday?
Absolutely. That offense in the fourth quarter was horrendous.
But how do you let it get to that point in the moment? I know, you know, we're the armchair analysts and armchair quarterbacks watching it live, and maybe it's easier for us, but it shouldn't be. If you're the coaching staff, and Doc has a great coaching staff with him, you know, Dave Yeager and Cassell and Dan Burke and all these guys, somebody might get a head coaching gig from this staff next year. How do 5 or 6 of them not realize and act on this in the moment? Like, sometimes you have to save players from themselves.
Yeah.
I didn't understand how that one went unbroached.
It was odd. To say the least, it was odd.
Just get some motion.
Get
at
something.
A minimum.
Well, that's why I'm telling you, James, I think there's something. That's why I thought it's so odd when you needed baskets. And Tobias Harris has proven throughout most of this year to be that second guy.
Yeah.
Right? He convinced all of us.
Sure.
I'm telling you, when you watch it, 3 dribble drives to a sweet spot where you just know he's going to pull up and shoot. Half-ass passes out to a wing to a Matisse Thybulle. Almost give up pass out. Now, look, again, conspiracy theory, I'm reading too much into it, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I told you earlier,
okay,
you're crazy.
It's still a bad basketball play. I need a basket. Tobias Harris, why are you dribble driving to your sweet spot and passing up to Matisse Thybulle standing in a corner at 3-pointer? It's not like you're throwing it to Danny Green or Seth Curry.
Well, to Tobias's defense, if Doc says that's what he wants, you know, coming out of a timeout or a stoppage in play.
But this was during a normal course of play.
I mean, it was in the fourth quarter, though, right?
Yeah.
But
needed baskets. It was a time when you needed baskets.
I hear you. Like, I would have much preferred Tobias take those shots because I think that's one of your most efficient shots in that situation.
I can't imagine Doc Rivers would even have an inkling or raise an eyebrow at Tobias Harris dribble driving into his sweet spot, mid-range spot, and pulling up for a jumper, as opposed to throwing the ball out to Matisse Thybulle at three-point range.
It's almost like the mid-range game has become like bastardized so much that it's lost its...
Not when you need a basket.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. But, like, why is he looking...
I don't know. I'm telling you, God, I wish you and I could get together after the show today and we could sit down and watch. Maybe there's some way we can. But if you watched it, I guarantee you would say, oh, yeah, that is a little interesting.
Well, I mean,
you wouldn't go to the degree of me because I'm an idiot.
Sure, yeah. But, I mean, I did. That was my homework assignment I gave you yesterday because I knew you were going to rewatch it. I was like, can you please watch Tobias off ball? You came away more with on ball observations, but the same off ball observations was that they were just kind of standing around.
And you know what, Connor? When the Honorable Jamie gives you a homework assignment, damn it, you do it. Right, Coach?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no question in that. So I kind of came away from the other night and we had a day to truly soak it in. So our attitude is a lot different today than it was yesterday. Yesterday we all went. What did you say earlier that in the 6 o'clock hour you had us having sex because we were angry or something?
No, I said,
Coach, what did? Do you remember? Can we rehash?
I'm cheap.
It?
I'm a whore. I said there was so much infighting among Sixers fans yesterday. It was like we all need to go out and get laid tonight and game.
Have
five.
Either of you ever been pulled?
You know, is the release of all of our built up anger.
So if we did your actions last night, we should be okay for tonight, or tonight is...
Tonight's we're getting the evil out of our minds.
Okay.
So we got to go get laid tonight as a fan base.
Oh, okay.
That makes perfect sense, Bob. I don't know why you're making this weird.
I'm making it weird. Okay.
There was pent-up frustrations where we were all fighting amongst ourselves. Like, stop.
Yeah, you got to get that post-game clarity.
Yeah. We got to go have that cig on the front stoop, you know?
Exactly.
All right, so the other night...
Makes perfect sense, Bob. Why are you being weird?
The game happens. We had our reaction yesterday, but after yesterday, probably around 10 o'clock, we had a chance to soak it all in and figure out what it was all about. Do you believe that maybe Atlanta gained some kind of an advantage in this series? And I don't mean just by winning and making it 2-2. I understand that. That's the obvious part. But was there anything in that game that you said, wow, they really have an advantage on the Sixers here? The Sixers need to make sure that doesn't happen again.
No.
Or am I missing? So I agree with you.
They shot 36%. They gift-wrapped that game for you. There was nothing they did outside of some momentum, stealing back John Collins' putbacks. Like, I think that those dunks that he had kind of got the fans more into it.
Oh, my God. He had so many of them.
Yeah, maybe throw a body on him.
It was horrible.
Yeah, those were momentum type of plays.
Three of them in the second half.
Yeah, rebounding killed them. If there's one thing I'd like to see cleaned up today, it's the rebounding. You know, maybe a little more on the offensive glass, and certainly much better on the defensive glass. So I think you need to improve there. But outside of that, there's nothing that Atlanta did where I went, oh, the Sixers can't overcome that.
I didn't either, and I seriously posed the question: am I missing something?
Is there anything that they did?
You held their star player for 8 for 26 shooting.
Yeah, and he had 18 assists, but you know that's an inefficient night scoring from the field. So clearly, your defensive game plan for him works. It's just how can you close out better, maybe on the shooters around him. But they didn't really shoot that well. Bogdanovich had an off night. Herter was kind of quieted when he was thrust into the starting lineup. I didn't see anything that gave me concern about tonight other than the Sixers play itself.
Their starters shot less than 40%. I added up their numbers yesterday. Their starters were under 40% for the game. I have it right here. 33 for 84, 39%. You should win games like that. You know, the one area that we haven't really hit on and we probably should even more, the Sixers only forced 4 turnovers.
That was concerning to
me. That's horrible.
Yeah, and that led to them not getting out in transition as much as they'd like. And look, when John Collins is grabbing offensive boards and getting putbacks, that's one less rebound that you can get out and run with. You know, if I'm Doc, I'd probably say to them, guys, let's push it tonight. Let's run. They can't hang with you. And their transition comes from turnovers and quick outlet passes from rebounds, and those two things didn't really happen. So they didn't play their exact style of game.
No.
But I didn't think it was because of what Atlanta did outside of those Collins putbacks.
Yeah, I don't think, and it's disappointing the Sixers didn't get out more, because although they didn't get the turnovers, as you said, Jamie, they held them to 36% shooting, which means they're missing a lot of shots, which means there's rebounds to be had and breakouts to be had. And Doc Rivers addressing it about Ben Simmons, saying, yeah, I don't want to walk the ball up the floor. I need him to get going. We need to see that right away. To me, it seems so blatantly obvious that when Ben Simmons starts a game by running up the floor,
sure,
it puts teams on their heels, and it makes the Sixers that much better. Look, can a guy run for 40 minutes a night every other night during a playoff run?
Kevin Durant played every minute of the game last night.
I didn't see him. I don't think Kevin Durant sweats. Either does Drew Holiday. Neither one of them sweat.
Yeah, Drew didn't have a good game last night.
No.
By the way, you know, every minute of the game, and he put up that type of performance. Holy hell.
Yeah.
That was a special game for Kevin Durant last night.
It's he was a wow factor last night. And for people to... Did we have this discussion the other day about his legacy? Was that here or somewhere else?
He put out a tweet basically ripping Jay Williams from ESPN. Because I didn't even hear what the Jay Williams thing was. But Durant was like, keep me in comparisons to other all-time greats out your mouth.
I think he was talking about cementing his legacy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's cemented.
Dude, well, yeah, one, it's cemented. Two, why do you care what somebody on ESPN is saying? And three, to my knowledge, Jay Will didn't say anything outrageous. He was comparing him to other all-time greats in the game. Isn't that a compliment?
Yeah, but Kevin Durant, as we know, is very thin-skinned. He's not only thin, he's thin-skinned.
Sure.
With all his Burns account and all that.
Ooh, you're comparing me to Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Steph. Like, ooh, I take offense to that?
Yeah.
Like,
it's kind of Atlanta-like.
But
you know,
like,
you're very thin-skinned and you get upset at things.
Sports talk. Like, if me and you were at the bar... you know, and a couple beers deep, you start talking about the all-time great. Would you take Durant over Larry Bird? Like, yeah. It's just a natural thing that us armchair slobs do when talking about the sport we love.
And no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take Larry Bird over Durant.
I'm glad you said the right answer.
Yeah, because I know you were looking for that. Hey, Coach, I have a serious question for you. So we did our auctioning last week for cancer research, right? And it went very, very well. The person who won to go out to have beers with me, Jamie, with Egan driving, are they one of our YouTube people?
No, our promotions department has all the information for the people that bid on the auctions.
Okay.
So we are currently in the process of contacting everybody. So
oh, okay.
I can find that out for you. I just don't know right now.
And one other question that I was asked.
Yeah.
And I hope I don't get in trouble for this.
Careful.
There's this thing we used to have in years past. Are we gonna talk about that at some time? If we're
no, what are you talking about?
Go? Okay.
What are you talking about? Give me the initials.
It's a double initial.
Mm-hmm.
Might be FF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are you asking,
wow,
Bob?
That's a solid no answer.
Fantasy football.
Are we going to make some kind of announcement ever whether we're good to go or not good to go on this FF thing?
Yes.
I love fantasy football.
It's coming soon.
An announcement's coming soon.
That's correct.
Okay. Hey. I honestly did. I had like five people ask me on text messages today, and I said, let me check with Coach and we'll address it on air. So that's just what we did, Coach.
Soon.
We are here for the peeps.
I have a real quick question for you that I don't want to come off hot takey, but I'm going to ask it anyway in hopes that it doesn't.
The Honorable James Lynch with a question.
If you were a Suns fan and you found out Chris Paul didn't get the vaccine and ended up missing, let's say, two games of the Western Conference Finals, would you be pissed?
I'm looking for any player to do whatever they have to do to be on the floor. And it doesn't have to be a political thing, anything else, whatever. So, sure.
Would your natural reaction be to be pissed?
One of my best players isn't playing at a time we can win a championship, yeah, absolutely.
Because it does say in the article he would be out a shorter period of time if vaccinated. So it's implying that he didn't get it.
Didn't get the vaccination, and it seems like he may have COVID.
Reading in between the lines. I can't imagine how that would have gone over in this city.
Yeah, it would have been kind of weird. 610-632-0975. This is the John Kincaid Show. When we return, Jamie has some expectations for tonight. And I think we all do. And let's just hope it all gets done. Game 5 tonight, 76ers, Atlanta Hawks, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Time at The Fanatic is 9:22.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jamie, guess what?
What?
This summer at Wawa, beat the heat with their handcrafted refreshers and smoothies. Made fresh with 100% real fruit juice and green tea, your way at Wawa. I know you're a huge Wawa fan.
I was there this morning.
Ben Davis tweeted out last night that he stopped at Wawa to get ready to go. I guess he was at Citizens Bank Park last night.
Late night West Coast trip. That's not
so
fun.
He said this is this. He showed what he got. It was like a 20-ounce coffee.
Okay.
4 lollipops.
That's interesting.
Gummy bears.
I love gummy bears.
Maybe like a bag of Doritos and a bag of something. It was the oddest combination of stuff.
I'm usually a Haribo guy, gummy bears, but people alerted me to the Black Forest gummy bear recently, and I saw them.
Black Forest gummy bear?
Yeah, it's just like the brand that makes them. Hey now. I think they have Haribo beat out. So if you're looking for gummy bears.
I'm not a gummy bear guy.
Really?
I'm not, like, I don't do much candy, sweets, that stuff. It's kind of the only little bit of discipline I have in my sad life.
Your life isn't sad.
Self-discipline. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I'm not. Well, it is. It's one thing I try to stay away from. Like, last night, the family had some ice cream cake. They had some ice cream going on, and I didn't partake.
Oh, you know what I had last night?
I think Coach is rubbing off on me.
One of those strawberry ice cream bar things that the fudgy wudgy guy carries down the shore.
Oh.
The strawberry ice cream, and then it's got like the
little
crusties.
You know how to eat them, right? So here's what you do. You go all around the outer edge. You just eat the little you eat the crunchy parts off the outer edge. And then you... Never mind.
What?
I have different ways that
finish
I eat
your
different...
thought.
No,
that's
forget it.
That's psycho. No.
All right, so we got something funny going on here, I think. So Coach has to monitor our YouTube channel all day long. And apparently there was a guy on there that Coach got into it pretty well with. And now he is calling the line. We're not sure if this is verified or not, but we're going to go to Philip on the cell. Philip, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Are you Mr. Truth and Wisdom?
Hello, and I call the station all the time, do I not?
Hey, what's up, Philip? I don't know. I never look at the comments, so I have no idea what's going on there.
Me neither.
But I call the station all the time.
What's up, Philip?
I want to say to Coach, right? Coach just blocked me, right? But Coach, what you did... By a grown man who coached my coach all day long, but that's
boom,
that's,
roasted. One point, Phillip, zero for Coach.
But Coach, you proved my point by blocking me. Like what? Some things I was saying earlier. Cause like I've been listening to sports talk radio probably since the 80s, and calling probably since the late 80s, sparingly. But I've been in, not doing it.
All right, what's the point of this call real quick, Philip? Because I don't even know. I'm in the middle of a fight here, and I don't know what's going on.
No, ask Coach.
Yeah, I'm anti-blocking. What led to this?
He wanted me to call so bad, but I don't crave attention. I don't crave attention, but he wanted me to call so bad. But there's something that they say.
Well, what's your main points that you make on the YouTube channel?
Well, one of them is something that I put out there.
I heard you called me soft. That's what Coach relayed to me. No. You called the hosts soft as mayonnaise, he said?
I said all and everyone. And I'm gonna tell you.
Is it Sir Duke's mayonnaise?
Guess what? I ain't soft, Philip. I'm not soft. I'll tell you that right now. I'm gonna tell you.
I was trying to make a mayo joke,
Bob. Don't take it personal.
If you call me soft, I take it personal. Maybe it's me.
It's about I don't mean you as a man. I don't mean you as a person. You know how y'all say hate? But you say, but it's sports hate?
Yeah.
I'm talking sports-wise.
Sure.
I don't mean...
What's
personally.
Soft about what we say?
Well, I'm going to bring up a comment that I said on YouTube. It's something that we say is not my baby. It's something I put out there. It's like,
yeah, it's a stupid saying. I don't even know what it means,
no,
but go ahead.
Stupid.
Yeah, it sounds stupid.
You.
All right, go ahead, Philip.
It is, is you all treat Ben Simmons like the parent whose child can't do no wrong.
And if you see that kid, that's because we're soft.
If you see that kid being poor,
I can't take this anymore. I don't like him.
I say unblock.
Get off our show.
Yeah, he's out.
Fair weather idiot.
I say 2 minutes him. To try to explain a point, Coach. I can see why you block him.
Unblock him, Coach.
He talks in superlatives. All of you and everyone, and you always say this about Ben Simmons. I am sorry. We've called Ben Simmons. Do I like him as a player? I do. I see the positives that he brings. I hate that he can't shoot. I hate that he's not a good foul shooter. And that doesn't go by the wayside. Sorry. It just doesn't.
I think we roasted Tobias and Ben fairly yesterday.
Yeah, whatever. I'm
anti-blocking in general. I think it's an overused tool by a lot of people. I say we unblock Phillip.
Go ahead, Coach.
On YouTube here, we have the option of putting somebody in timeout, which is 300 seconds.
Oh, it's actually a timeout?
Correct. You can't comment on there for 300 seconds.
All right, then Phillip's in a timeout.
That's almost 5 minutes.
If you come at the hosts or anybody on our YouTube chat room with personal information, personal threats or calling names or whatever it is, that's not what this is about. We're talking sports here. When you go personal, that's where you get blocked.
But was it worse than just being called soft?
No. So,
because soft is like, we should be able to, have to take that.
Philip crossed.
You're soft if you can't take that.
Philip crossed the line and I put him in timeout for 300 seconds. I didn't block him. So he's inaccurate again with his statements, not only on YouTube, but now on the air.
Wow. Just a little timeout for
Coach,
you.
Coach, what's the reaction to the reaction of you and Philip going at it now that he called in?
They love it. YouTube chat loves it. But I will say to Philip, good on you.
Yeah, good on him for calling
all
in.
All morning I've been saying on the YouTube chat, dude, here's the number. Just call. If you want to argue and debate about something, we're here. Just
Jamie
call.
Is a master debater. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but it's soft. Let that fly. I mean, we call athletes soft sometimes. We question. We got to take it.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, that's part of our job. I mean, you don't. Look, do I love if people call you names or say something? Oh, he's the worst. Of course you don't like it.
Yeah, but
unfortunately, it is part of our job. And yes, we do have to take it. What I love and cherish is that somebody may come at you. It happened in my old job. And I would always say, like, on an email, hey, stop by at a game. Let's talk. I'd love to hear what you have to say. And 99 times out of 100, if they came down to talk, we wind up just having a good conversation and everything's cool.
Oh, that did happen where people would come down and introduce themselves?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, really? A lot of times, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I love that. Like, you don't know anybody.
Nobody should take anything personal. We're talking sports.
We're doing the best job we can. Knowing us personally, or us knowing you personally. I don't know you, Philip, but I assume you're a good dude. That's always my assumption first.
I've talked to Philip in the past. I think he's a good dude. Coach, if he wants to call me baby bleep soft, that's fine. I can handle it.
And here's the thing. All I said to him all morning on the chat board was call. So now, wasn't his call, even though his call was questionable, that's better than sitting there ripping our hosts and everything on a chat board where we can't respond. You guys can't respond on the chat board. You're in the studio. So just pick up the phone and call. That's all.
What do you say, Philip?
Philip, call back.
We love the interaction. There's no question about it. All right, so Jamie, you have a thought about who just might be dominant tonight, and it's a linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, I fully expect Joel Embiid to take over this game tonight. I think it's a lock.
No concerns at all.
Given that he's not more injured than we realized, which I don't think he is. It's a possibility. I can't rule it out. But if he comes out in the first quarter tonight looking spry and maybe not bouncy, but not showing a willingness to not jump, I think he's going to I think I threw in an extra nod ahead of my mouth got ahead of my brain.
I am so confused right now.
Joel Embiid's horny. He needs to get laid tonight.
You want us all to have sex tonight before or after the game? I'm still not sure of that one.
I fully expect Joel. My expectation, and you tell me if it's unfair because I don't think it is that Joel Embiid's going to absolutely dominate the game tonight. I think he's going to give you a 35-15, 12-13 from the line, good field goal percentage type of game. I think he's going to dominate Clint Capela tonight because I think they you know, at his own doing, the bear was poked the other night. 0 for 12 has been festering with him for probably the past 24 hours. I thought his comments after the game were spot on and perfect. I think he's going to come out tonight and steal the soul of the Atlanta Hawks. Agree, disagree, problems?
I, in the back of my mind, am a little bit concerned. And I'm not...
But physical related, not game related.
It is physical related, yeah. I don't have anything to draw on specifically, but for some reason, having been around him at times when he's played that type of a game where an injury has lingered, I have it in me to think he's not going to be 100% tonight. So I don't...
But can he dominate at not 100%?
I think he's been doing that all series except for the other night.
I think he can.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how he comes out tonight. Are we going to be able to tell right away, oh, he's moving slow, he's not doing this? Because as I said, watching the game the other night, defensively, I specifically watched his movements to see, because I think defensively is when you can tell an injury more. Offensively, sure, you can control where you're going more because you know what your body feels like. Defense is more of a reactive thing where, oh, I got to get here, and you go to do it, and it could be, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, around the rim, his rebounding was fine, like he was coming up with defensive board.
He had a goaltend late in the game.
Yeah, he didn't have the same spryness I think we're accustomed to. So, but regardless, even if he's 85%, his 85%, I'll take over Clint Capella at 200%. I think he's going to dominate the game. I that's what I expect.
Okay.
That's what I hope to see. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to how he answers tonight.
You know, Connor Thomas has taken over for Pat Egan today, who has the day off. And he's hit us with not one, but two breaking news during this show today. Connie, you want to give this one up also?
Yeah, we've got another bit of news out of the Western Conference.
So, okay.
Kawhi Leonard now, apparently, according to Brian Windhorst on Twitter, his status for Game 5 is in major question because of a knee injury, and his status for the rest of the series
is
in question. And that report is brought to you by Parks Casino. Clap your hands, everybody, and go 76ers. From Parks Casino, the official local casino partner of your 76ers, and Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You see what we did there, Coach? Now, at the beginning of the show today, some people might not have heard it. It was pretty funny. Jamie was telling us all to get laid. And Jamie also has become public enemy number one, according to him, down in Atlanta.
I just programmed their station yesterday.
It's a role he relishes because he called Trae Young dishonorable in his play. And right now we got to go to Ross in Atlanta because he says everybody in Atlanta is talking about Jamie. Ross, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good,
hey,
what's
Ross
going on?
Thanks for emailing me those clips yesterday. They made me chuckle.
Hey, man, you're the honorable Jamie.
Thanks for being a good Philadelphia Sentinel in that Peachtree City.
Hey, man, always representing down here. Yeah, it's crazy, you know, the Atlanta media. Atlanta, they were smelling themselves after game one, you know, and I think after you saw, you know, in the final 6 minutes of game one, you started to see the Sixers really get their selves together, play with that intensity, and we've seen that. And so I'm not even scared for this game. I'm more angry. I think the Sixers need to go out and stomp the Hawks, prove a point. That's how they've won. You know, the Hawks, when they've won, they've been very close games. But, yeah, the Atlanta media, it's a bit of a joke down here. They say, Joel, you know, they call him Floppy Joe for his flopping and saying...
That's pretty good.
You know, yeah, that's not bad.
Right. Yeah. How long did that take? And then, You know, his meniscus hurts when they lose, but when they win, you don't hear anything about it.
Which sounds like another station in town.
Yeah. So,
all right, Ross, keep sticking up for Jamie down there because he needs it. He is ultra soft and usually can't take all of this criticism. Ross, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Wow, you have a whole city on fire. I could see Jamie Lynch shirt. Honorable Jamie Lynch with an X through the face. What's it feel like to be a superstar in another city?
It's funny. Well, so I thought my buddy from New York, he was the one that originally texted me, Trae Young plays with no honor, and I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard, so I started kind of running with it. Little did I know, it's from a podcast called Ball Don't Lie that he listens to, and they've been on Trae Young Plays With No Honor for like 2 years. So I'm just kind of recapturing their magic.
What?
Recapturing their magic. Because I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
Kind of like just stealing something that they came up with?
I didn't know I was stealing it. It was my buddy's line that I thought was his and yada, yada, yada.
You thought you were just stealing from him. Turns out you were stealing from a bigger entity.
So, I want to give them their proper due
to be a stealer.
But that's hilarious to me. Trae Young Plays With No Honor.
That is pretty good.
NBA Twitter to me is a hilarious place.
We need shirts.
But I don't want to if it's stolen valor.
A good point.
Did you see these numbers last night about Durant? Paul Hembekidis, who does the Mike Missinelli show?
Yeah, sure. Humbo.
This is eye-popping. If I was a Milwaukee Bucks fan today, I would be outraged. Giannis, you know, very good defensive player of the year candidate, won it last year. Number of possessions guarding Kevin Durant in the second half of Game 5.
Wait, who's this on him?
These are who guarded Durant second half.
Okay, I got you. I thought I missed
PJ Tucker, 21 possessions. I can see that from time to time. He knows his game extremely well.
He's physical.
Yeah, they go back to Texas together, yada, yada, yada. Chris Middleton, 14. Brooke Lopez, 3. Pat Connaughton, 2. Giannis didn't pick him up once.
Wow.
How is that possible?
How about Drew Holiday? Is he on there at all?
No. He was probably maybe sticking with Harden. I fell asleep in the fourth quarter, so I didn't really.
I'm thinking your two best defensive players, you didn't put a shot on him?
Well, I mean, Holiday's how much shorter than Durant? Like, I get that at least.
I don't know. You want some size
covering him because he's got such a high release.
They had Holiday on Harden for much of the night, and a lot of people are saying, why are you wasting him on Harden when Harden can't move and isn't playing well? You know, you can say part of that has to do with Drew Holiday being on him. So,
but imagine if Ben Simmons, who was our Defense Player of the Year candidate, wasn't picking up Kevin Durant in the second half of an all-important Game 5. People would be out with pitchforks.
Yeah, that is really odd.
Milwaukee's in a really tough spot because if they don't get it done this playoffs,
a hot and cold people here.
Oh, it's hot. Jamie smells.
He I does don't smell. Don't lie to the people.
Don't use deodorant.
I don't smell.
I'm kidding. Jamie does not smell.
Jeez, that's like the worst thing you can
say
when
he makes funny noises.
It
all
the fault.
All of a sudden.
I'm out on the stank.
What's up, buddy? You feeling a lot better than you were 48 hours ago? Or 24 hours
ago?
Yeah,
I can already tell by his smile.
Yeah, I'm breaking ball. If I'm busting chops, it means I'm in good mood.
Yeah, you're already better.
He's
yesterday.
Got his grandmom's shawl on. So,
Tony,
his grandma's shawl.
He had his hood on for most of the beginning of the show.
It was
so
freezing
cold
in here. We can't get the temperature right. There's no sweet spot here. It's either too cold or too hot.
I feel good about it.
I do too.
I feel good about it.
And I think Joel's going to dominate.
So do I. I'm with you. I know. All right. So actually, I want to ask you, Bob, because you went back, rewatched it, and I heard you talking about it.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
I was going to text you while I was doing it last night, but I swear to God, I was like, nah, I don't want to bother Ant. And then I got done watching, and I was like, I got to text Ant anyway, so that's why I was
texting. I wish you would have done it. Why would I would have did it with you, actually.
Oh, that's adorable. It's like the Netflix watch a friend the movie with a friend feature. You guys can sync up and watch the game rewatch.
I would definitely do that with Bob.
Yeah, don't you make fun of us.
I would definitely do it with Bob. Yeah. I'd light a candle, too.
So what's up?
When you go back and you look at it, and it's funny, when you look at Tobias, and you bring up Tobias, right? Mm-hmm. Give me his perfect, what you think you can get the most out of Tobias in that kind of circumstance. Because when Joe is not, Tobias, that's what he does. He's got to be your secondary scorer.
Yep.
That's all he does. You're paying him $185 million, whatever it is, to be that guy.
And they had Herter or Bogdanovich on him.
All day long, he should be able to score.
And he dribble-drove. And I'm telling you, I have this conspiracy theory in my head.
It's dumb. But
he dribble-drove and got to his sweet spot. Even having already seen the game, I was still expecting him to rise up and shoot.
Yeah.
And three times, he kicked out to Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
at the 3-point area.
But your theory is because Doc said earlier in the game that he wanted more threes.
And I buy that. I buy Bob's theory.
I wonder
theory.
If it's in his head a little bit. Because I don't think, to me, I've never considered Tobias Harris afraid to take a shot. Have you, Ant?
No, not at all.
So then have Matisse dribble drive and kick to Tobias. Flip-flop him.
No, but that's
but he
not
can
the
create
point.
On his own.
No, that's not the point. He's not a. I mean, he can be a spot up guy, but he's better off the bounce. He's a better shooter that way.
Well, yeah, sure.
But the point is what Bob's saying is they're reliant upon the three. See, and that's an issue with it was an issue with Brett, where you got a team that's an okay to poor 3-point shooting team,
and they're missing one of your best,
right? And Danny Green. So it's like, oh my God, we got to shoot threes, because we got no Danny Green, and we can't lose the three. Well, just do what you do, man. And that is, Tobias scores mid-range, take the two. You can beat these teams by playing this way.
If my team is in a scoring slump, I don't care what level I'm playing, coaching, whatever. Right. If my team's in a scoring slump, I'm designing a play for a layup. To me, Tobias Harris, mid-range, 10 to 15
That's
feet,
a layup.
Is almost a layup.
Yes.
And he passed up on it.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand
and three
it.
Times.
Three times. And yeah. All three times the passes went out to Matisse Thybulle.
And I'll be honest with you. Again, it's these coaches, they go way overboard with the three. You got to know who you are. You're not, listen, if you got Durant, right, go ahead, do whatever you want, right? You got Hall, you got any of those guys, all those spot-up shooters. This team doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So you got to play to your strengths, and just because you play doesn't mean you're going to lose the game. You're good.
Yeah, it confused me, and I didn't know what to make of it. And I said, it could be a conspiracy theory, but at the same time, there was something there.
I just think it's a 3-point. They that shot. I hate that shot, man. It messes with coaches, messes with their heads, especially with this team that's not built to do it.
No. Great points, and I'm sure you're going to have many, many more great points today, and can't wait to listen to you. And
thank you.
The Tunis.
That's right.
I think
Beers with Bob tonight at the center?
Beers with Bob tonight at the center. We'll
that's
be there
outrageous.
At 5:30, Section 106, me, Devon Givens, Andrew Salchunas.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Come on out and say
hello.
Beers
with Bro.
We'll do that at some point.
Beers with Bro will be with Tyrone at Rivers Casino tonight watching the game.
Nice.
Yeah.
We're all over the place.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. That's a good time,
56
too.
56-foot LED screen. It's gorgeous.
Dude, that's awesome. Great times. I like it.
Can't wait to listen to you today, and you always get me pumped up for games. And I need you to remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join me and our generous partner, Window Nation, in making a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AAC. Cancer research saves lives. Thanks for joining us today on the John Kincaid Show. We will be back at you tomorrow to talk about Game 5. Time to Fanatic 953.
Keep on scratching.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.